welcome to the podcast. I am Aaron, and over there is Ethan.
Yes, I'm Ethan, and you are married.
I am married. Again.
Again.
Second time's the charm, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was cool. It was, you know, you were there. You saw the whole thing. You saw how simple it was.
I saw the pomp and circumstance. Yeah. I saw the pageantry, all that.
My multi-dollar wedding.
Yes, your multi-dollar wedding.
But, you know, it's funny. As simple as it was, as small as it was still bigger than I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I wanted, you know, courthouse, high five, go home, watch Walking Dead. Instead, it was rent library, get married, eat cake, walk around, high five, go home, watch Walking Dead.
Yes,
but it was cool. I'm glad it's over, but I'm glad I'm married. Rachel's awesome. I love Rachel. She's cool.
You officially have a redheaded stepchild.
And I officially have a redheaded stepchild. That's so damn cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. She's taken to calling me daddy, and I'm okay with that. I am completely fine with that, but I don't think her daddy would be okay with that at all.
Well, her dad's a douchebag.
He is a douchebag. But we are actually doing a podcast tonight, and we have a not douchebag on. It's Mr.
No.
Jason Hunter. Say hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you today?
Fresh.
I'm doing well.
Fresh fish.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the wedding as well.
Thank you. It's cool. I'm glad it's done. And I don't mean I'm glad it's over with. I'm just glad that, you know, I've made an honest woman out of her and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also really happy to have a stepchild.
Well,
but
I'm as of someone coming up on 15 years, a marriage can be a wonderful thing.
Oh yeah, I was married for 7 years, and it was
that didn't go so
like,
well.
Like 6 months of it was pretty sweet, but you know, hey,
but, yeah, and I get married next year, so
yeah. Beth's a good girl. We like Beth.
Yes.
That's a real good girl. But Jason is not McGee or John or any of our normal ones. He's new to the show.
And he actually asked to be on the show.
Yeah, we didn't have to pay him or do any of that stuff. He wanted to be on the show, and he found us through Ethan's Gamers Haven stuff, mm-hmm. I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, Ethan and I met, 2006 at Gen Con.
Yeah, it was back in the Dragon's Landing days.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. The
Dragon's Landing was a podcast. I don't even know if it's still on anymore. If it is, I don't think it's the same guys.
It's not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that's what got me into podcasting in general. And I remember the first. I want to say it was 2006. Might have been 2004.
It's been on for 6 years now.
Five. I don't know. Yeah. This will be its 6th year. So it has to be 2000.
It was
2005 or six. Yeah, and I was the one who organized the first. Meet and greet for them, for the Dragon's Landing guys at Gen Con. That was a lot of fun, but and I think that's where I first met Jason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
at least in person, we maybe chatted here and there on the forums tangentially.
Yeah.
But he, I don't know, for whatever, somehow, some way, he ran into the old Red Phone Zone days,
mm-hmm.
and started listening to this, and I guess he listened to our comic book show that we did with Ed Douglas,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, Ed Douglas.
Yep.
And I think he kind of noticed that on that show, I did not do superhero movies.
Well, you made a point of you were not going to do superhero.
Yeah, I made a point of avoiding them, and Ethan did not. And Jason kind of ran with that, and he says, well, hey, why don't I be on, and why don't we do superhero movies? I'm like, I can do that. And Ethan's like, shit. And I said, shut up, Ethan. You're going to do it anyway.
And then there was get back in your cage.
Get back in your
cage.
Get
the hose, that sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And something about lotion on the skin or the hose again, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's from a movie.
Yeah, some kind of movie. It's not a comic. It's not a superhero movie.
Well, I don't know. Hannibal Lecter is kind of a super villain.
Just give me a nice Chianti and we'll be good.
That's true.
Mm. But yeah, we're going to be talking superhero movies after after all this noise. It's going to be cool. But before we get into any of that, we're going to do what we do every week, and we are going to have a little segment called Geekly Happenings, news relevant to us geeks. Ethan, what's happened this week?
Well, I'm starting at the top of the list. They are making a sequel to Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
They're following up Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, it's becoming a bit of a Whedon-esque type of thing. They've added in the following people have joined the cast. First off, was announced was Nathan Fillion.
I saw that
almost Nathan fucking Fillion, but not quite.
Not quite. He lost by 3 votes.
Lost by 3 votes to Harrison fucking Ford. Thank
there you.
You go. He is just set to join the cast as
Hermes,
as
right?
Hermes, yes. And then sort of on the heels of that, and we all love Nathan Fillion, but Anthony Head or he, I don't know how you want to pronounce it. I think it's Anthony Head, yes, who was Giles on Buffy, has signed on to actually replace Pierce Brosnan's character, the
That's
Chiron.
Fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's really good casting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great casting, but I really did like Pierce Brosnan in that role, though.
I didn't see the original one yet.
It was cute.
One of those that's on the long list of stuff to
watch. It was a good little movie that was flawed in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And Logan Lerman is returning, because what else is he doing? but so far, it looks like Nathan Fillion and Anthony Head are in on it. I'm waiting for, you know...
Felicia Day.
Felicia Day and... Sarah Michelle Gellar and
Sarah Michelle Gellar's too stuck.
Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yes, Michelle Trachtenberg and who is
Gina Torres?
Yes, Gina Torres. Spike. When you get Spike in there, you know he can be Ares.
Sure, why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Well, cool. I like both those guys. I hadn't heard that about Anthony Head. But
yeah, that was just announced today.
I saw that on Nathan Fillion's Twitter feed, and that's how I saw that. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And we have talked a little bit in the past about the upcoming Munsters reboot that Bryan Singer is
the edgy,
yes, the edgy, more dramatic one. Yeah. Apparently, first off, it's no longer called The Munsters; it's now called Mockingbird Lane. And Eddie Izzard has joined the cast as Grandpa Munster.
Cool. I like Eddie Izzard.
Apparently, Bryan Singer is planning on directing the pilot. And then there you have it. And, of course, Eddie Izzard worked with him in Valkyrie, I believe. So
is it a series or is it going to
be a movie? Yeah, it's a TV series. Well, obviously, Singer sort of freed up as far as TV series because House was canceled. And he was a producer on that, I believe.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and... So now he's moving on to Mockingbird Lane, the reboot of the Munsters. And I still find it amusing that they don't want to call anything a remake anymore. Now they just call it a reboot.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope it's great. Probably won't be, but I hope it is.
Yeah. And speaking of reboots, they're working on a new Jack Ryan movie with Chris Pine as Jack Ryan.
I knew that.
And the director, Jack Bender, has dropped out of the movie.
I'll do it.
Yeah, there you go. Aaron is free to do it. So Jack Bender is no longer attached to direct. Chris Pine is still attached to play Jack Ryan, the new Jack Ryan. So, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with that. But
I like that though. I do like that. Chris Pine as Jack Ryan. That could be real good. Yeah, that could be real good.
And we saw first released image from CW's Arrow. So we saw the dark and brooding Green Arrow that's in there.
I like the picture.
Picture looks cool. Yeah,
I mean a picture is just kind of just that. It's
kind of looks like the same outfit he sort of had in Smallville to me, but you know,
looked a little different. I mean, it certainly looked different color wise.
Now, I didn't see the image. I heard it was a different actor. Is that correct?
Yes, it is a different actor, and it's not associated with Smallville in any way.
That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that is a bummer. I still haven't watched season 10 because I'm in denial. So.
Oh, I know. It was horrible. I was a big Smallville fan from the very beginning.
Not me.
Yeah. Love Smallville.
I liked the first two or three seasons and just got bored with it.
Anyone who listens to the show knows I'm a huge Smallville. Guilty pleasure is a Smallville.
Once you get past the thing with Smallville is that you had to go through that time period, which was almost like a Monster of the Week sort of thing.
Yeah, that was season one.
You had to do with Buffy and at the beginning of that.
Oh, you have to do that with most shows, really.
Yeah, with
once
Smallville.
You got through that.
Yeah, Smallville season one was pretty much Monster of the Week until the season finale, which was enough of a hook to get me to watch season two, and then season two just got much better. So
yeah, I mean, I just thought it got old and gave up on it.
Mm-hmm. Once they started bringing in some of those iconic, you know, villains, and other than obviously the Luther sort of thing, you're really starting to know some real story arcs, and you know the Doomsday and you know some of those arcs that went for multiple episodes that were really pretty good. I'm not opposed to watching it,
but I just don't. I don't have it, and it's not on Netflix or anything like that. So.
Yeah.
It's just not anything that, I mean, I would watch it if it became available to me. I just gave up on it because I just kind of got tired of it.
Okay, and I mentioned him last week, but are either of you familiar with the whole Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Michael Bay business?
Yes.
I am not.
Okay, Aaron, what have you heard about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Michael Bay business?
That they're going to be aliens.
Yes. Just announced for Christmas Day 2013 release just this last week, Platinum Dunes TMNT, or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is set to feature a very non-traditional origin for its reptilian heroes. In fact, producer Michael Bay, he's not directing, he's just the producer, is set to feature, or hints that the turtles may not be mutants at all. Word arrives via Stuff We Like and a video of Bay speaking at last week's Nickelodeon Upfront in New York, where he states, "When you see this movie, kids are going to believe one day that these turtles actually do exist when we are done with this movie. These turtles are from an alien race, and they're going to be tough, edgy, funny, and completely lovable." And of course, people take this and run with it.
Yeah.
Have completely, I believe one of the voice actors from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon series said that it's a sodomization of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise.
Well, they're certainly not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles anymore. See, I don't care. I don't care about this. I keep saying it. They can come out and they could be middle-aged alien kung fu lizards and completely change everything. It does not impact the original thing that I have so many warm fuzzy feelings about. So, you know, they can do whatever they want. Make the new hipper, awesomer, niftier next generation Ninja Turtles thing, and I just won't watch it. It's as simple as all that to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I don't really care,
yeah,
really.
Exactly. I don't care.
I mean, I love the original movies. I love the original series and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'll probably see this movie one way or another.
I didn't see that new one, so I doubt I would see this one.
But the recent animated one? It was pretty good.
I heard it. I just still haven't seen it.
Let me see if I can find Michael Bay's response. Michael Bay actually had a pretty funny response to
it. It was something about just chill the fuck out or something.
Yeah, it was along the lines of, "You guys haven't read the script, so just sit down and chill out." Jeez.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny, actually. It was Michael Bay being Michael Bay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm kind of, you know, who sort of throw my hands up in the air and go, you know, whatever. I don't feel completely violated by the whole thing.
You can't violate my childhood.
Yeah.
You just can't. It's not that I don't care about my childhood. I just understand that it's, you know, 25 years ago, mm-hmm. and, you know, things are changed now.
Yeah. What do you think about it, Jason?
The Ninja Turtles wasn't something I followed a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. it was popular when I was younger, obviously, mm-hmm. just like with you guys. The new stuff, I didn't watch the new one. I agree with you, Aaron. If you change if they're aliens, they're no longer mutant turtles.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If they're from another planet, then what's the point?
Yeah.
Now, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not a big Michael Bay fan. I'll say that. But I will give him the benefit of the doubt that we haven't seen the movie. We haven't read the script.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's right. Let's hold off judgment. But if they're changing that, it's something different.
Here's his response as he put feedback on his official site for it. And he said, and this is what he says, quote, "Fans need to take a breath and chill. They have not read the script. Our team is working closely with one of the original creators of Ninja Turtles to help expand and give a more complex backstory. Relax. We are including everything that made you become fans in the first place. We are just building a richer world." That sort of puts a new spin on it, is if they're working with either Eastman or Laird. I don't know which one, honestly, they're working with, obviously.
And, you know, for all we know, it could be, you know, mutant gen from Mars or mm-hmm. whatever. And
it could be that you're talking about, the, you know, Splinter and them being, you know, more, you know, mm-hmm. alien.
Right.
Yeah, and
that very well could be.
And what's sort of is interesting to me is people who love the original cartoon are going off on this, and I'm like going, guys, the original cartoon butchered the stories.
Oh God!
It was
yes.
nothing like the comic books.
The comic
if
book
you want to be purist,
awesome.
You're being purist in a really odd
yeah.
way.
Yeah, I mean,
the more recent cartoon series back in 2004, I want to say,
was that late?
Yeah, it was 2002, 2004. I think it was 2004.
I thought it was like 2005. I don't know.
It was a much more closer to the comic books style of storytelling, and it's just one of those things. We're going to be talking about superhero movies, but this definitely falls into that category. So, I'm I don't know what to think yet on it, honestly. Nothing has happened to make me really care too much about it, so we'll see.
Yeah, it was 2003.
All right. And, of course, they are working on the sequel slash prequel slash follow-up to 300.
The Battle of Artemisia.
Yeah. Rodrigo Santoro is agreed to return as Xerxes,
Yep.
He will return in the role of Xerxes in Warner Brothers Pictures and Legendary Pictures 300 Battle of Artemisia. The actor will be joining Eva Green, Sullivan Stapleton, and Jamie Blakely in the film. It's to be directed by Noam Morrow from a script by Kurt Johnstad. The movie, a follow-up to Zack Snyder's 300, is expected, we don't know specifically, but it's expected to tell, in part, the story of the Greek general Themistocles, who led Athens against Persian invaders in a battle that played out simultaneously with the Battle of Thermopylae, depicted in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they want to actually get history right, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I mean, you know, this whole 300 Spartans thing was like pretty far from Xerxes' central gaze.
Oh yes,
you know what I mean. But you know, I don't see a lot, and that's another one. That's one of those movies that people just love to talk shit on, and I don't get it.
It's still a fun movie. Yes, it's not. It's not historically accurate, but I didn't expect it to be.
I would love for somebody to find me some evidence, something pointing to anybody even remotely implying that there's any historical evidence in this at all. It's obviously just a kill shit with swords movie, and it's a pretty good one.
How can you not watch that movie and just be like, man, that was a man's movie right there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I chewed the leg off a chair after I saw that movie and drank beer.
Exactly.
That movie, and it felt like adrenaline was pumping through every pore of my body.
Mm-hmm. I had to go eat some red meat. It was great.
Yeah, it was fucking. Yeah, I had more hair on my chest. It was a great day.
I was like, man, if I weren't a fat white guy, I'd totally be a Spartan.
Yeah,
because it was a Spartan recruitment film.
It was just you just felt
first movie I ever bought on Blu-ray.
Manly watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. I don't quite get it. I mean, I don't get it. Well, of course, I'm becoming soft and far less cynical the older I get, but I just do not understand everybody's hate of that movie. And
neither do I.
And also, I don't believe everybody's hate of that movie, because it made a shitload of money, and it's just like, it's like the Transformers.
It was a huge sleeper hit. They didn't expect it to do that well.
It's like the Transformers. Everybody says they hate the fucking Transformers, but they make $1 billion at the box office.
Right.
So somebody is going multiple times.
And so
you don't get
and then people complain when they're going to make a fourth one, and you're like, guys, the first three, or in this case, like the first one, made a big dump truck of money.
The third one made a huge dump truck of money. And I've said it 100 times. I did not like the first Transformers movie, therefore I didn't see the second or the third one. And if I were a producer, you could not stop me from making a Transformers 4 movie, because they make so much money.
I'll tell you what, the Transformers movies are why I'm not a big Michael Bay fan. I think there's too much motion going on there. If you could hold a camera still for a minute, I'd appreciate it.
I think they're well-made movies. I just don't care about them.
I was really, really impressed with the third one. I was surprisingly impressed with the third one, because you're right. The first two weren't great movies.
I'll take your word for it. The second one, the first one, I got it. I saw what it was. I'm not gonna pretend like it wasn't what it was. It's not my speed.
I get tired of having the discussion with people about it. It's like, okay, it's guys, it's robots beating the shit out of each other. What the fuck are you expecting? Othello? Are you expecting?
It did depart from the cartoon that they had back in the 80s. Cause I was a big fan of the cartoon when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my after school come home and turn on Transformers sort of thing. That and He-Man.
I do remember. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish, but remind me to finish.
It was a departure, from the original cartoon. But you just had to understand that that's what they had to do. They decided to make that choice, and I was fine with that. But I'm not a big fan of Shia LaBeouf, the whole Wiki thing just kind of killed it. But the third movie, there was some really good storytelling there.
My wife liked it. And good for her. I'm not opposed to watching it, but I wasn't going to go in the theater, and I still haven't seen the second one, and I don't know. I don't care that much. What I was going to say is, I remember before the first one was made, and they announced that Liam Neeson was going to be Optimus Prime, and everybody just fucking shit themselves pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's Liam Neeson. And granted, they went and got Peter Cullen from the cartoon, which is awesome. But it's fucking Liam Neeson. I thought that was awesome. And I don't know.
I'm glad that they got, you know, the guy from the cartoon. That was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to do.
Would have been good, but,
Was Frank Welker, was he what's-his-face, the bad one?
Megatron?
Yeah, him.
No, Hugo Weaving is Megatron.
No. In the cartoon.
In the cartoon, yes. And so, they did get Frank Welker to come and do Soundwave.
But he didn't do Megatron?
No.
Why the hell not?
If you watch the extra features on it, they actually talk about it, and they actually brought him in, and Michael Bay and the producers just said it just didn't sound right coming from what they had as Megatron on screen. And so
but Frank Welker is a voice god. He could have come up with something that worked.
I know, but I'm just, whatever. I thought Hugo Weaving did a fine job, I thought he did too. They still gave work to Frank Welker. I mean, Frank Welker
doesn't need fucking work.
No. but
Jason, do you know who Frank Welker is?
I know the name and obviously the voice there, but it's not ringing up.
Okay,
I didn't know Hugo Weaving was. I didn't realize.
Pretty much, think up any cartoon character that was an animal. Over the course of your lifetime, it was probably Frank Welker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and he is without a doubt the absolute most prolific voice actor of a generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did the voice of tons of these guys in Transformers. Mm-hmm. He was the voice in Scooby Doo. He was the voice of Fred Rogers in Aladdin. Did I say he was the voice of Abu in Aladdin yet?
Mm-hmm.
He's the voice of Abu in Aladdin. He pretty much look up his filmography, and he has you've seen those things before where people say like the people with like the biggest box office draws of their life, and it's always like, you know, Harrison Ford's movies have made like, you know, $2 billion. Well, and they always say that he's the champ. Well, the actual champ of those lists is Frank Welker, and he's at something like five times the amount of Harrison Ford or something. Mm-hmm. Just because of like the massive amount of films that he's done, and like he's an incredibly everybody knows him without knowing him. Everybody knows something he's done without knowing him.
So I'm looking right now over his IMDb page, mm-hmm. like I said. Mm-hmm. And
it's a hell of a resume, isn't it?
Yeah. He's been around a long time and done a ton of stuff.
And there's very few photos of him out there.
Yeah.
That's cool though, but yeah, he's a living legend.
As an actor, it shows him at 675 titles.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. He's had, you know, I'd like to do a Frank Welker show one day, but probably in the future. Could we actually talked a little bit about him when we did our Bob Anderson show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know Bob Anderson, he did every sword fight that was relevant in the last 50 years, and we said that he was. Just like Frank Welker, and you know, so, but okay, cool though. Right on,
excellent.
We got on a Michael Bay tangent,
yes,
off of Ninja Turtles into Transformers into Frank Welker. So at least we know where we came from.
So now we're going to jump into Leprechaun.
Woohoo!
Warwick
Davis,
Lionsgate is planning on rebooting Leprechaun.
With Warwick Davis?
They don't say.
Probably with Tyrion Lannister.
If I were him, I wouldn't do it.
No, he doesn't need to.
No. he's actually won awards and stuff. But let's see. The original six-film franchise was Leprechaun 1 through 3, Leprechaun 4 in space, Leprechaun 5 in the hood, and Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
I like the Leprechaun movies. They're shit.
Yes.
They have no artistic value, but I like them anyway.
Yeah, they've got no director, writer, or cast attached to it, but they already plan to release it in 2013.
I will write and direct and star in that movie.
Okay.
I'll just have to walk on my knees.
I just put it down because you and I watched that
Life's Too Short.
Life's Too Short with
Warwick Davis.
Yeah. It's pretty damn funny.
I like the Leprechaun movies. I mean they were horrible.
Early Jennifer Aniston in the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my Nostalgia Critic did a review. It was pretty good.
And we may have mentioned this, but I'll mention this again. You know, next year is the 20th anniversary of Jurassic Park.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Came out in 1993.
Yeah.
Well, they're planning on doing a 3D release of it next year.
Cool.
On July 19th, 2013, we're going to get Jurassic Park in 3D.
Neat.
So there you have it.
Cool.
And some people are saying, hey, they're ruining Jurassic Park. I'm like, don't see it. But what this says to me is we might actually get it on Blu-ray next year.
That'd be cool. They don't say who's doing the conversion, do they?
No, they don't. They just say it's coming.
If it's ILM, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
They did a great job on the episode 1 3D.
So did you finally get out to see that? Nice.
They did such a great job on that. I was really impressed because...
Yeah, if they take time on a 3D conversion, it could be really good.
If they take no time, then
you get Crash of the Titans.
Yeah, Crash of the Titans. That was the worst 3D conversion I've ever seen in my life. But they... ILM was smart enough to brighten up the colors and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is you know, paramount.
For Star Wars, it wasn't like they decided to turn this into 3D and then released it a week later.
Right. So. No, they worked on it for like a year and a half or something.
Yeah.
They did a really good job, and if they put the same care into Jurassic Park, cool.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. I probably wouldn't go see it. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
No.
But cool. That's pretty neat.
And you posted this earlier today, but obviously we know that but both Aaron and I are huge Doctor Who fans, and Karen Gillan and Rory, I can never remember the guy's name, are leaving the show this year.
Yeah.
And they've announced who is replacing them. It's Jenna Louise Coleman.
I have an Aaron trivia question for you.
Okay.
Well, it's not really a question. It's a trivia statement. Do you realize I've watched one Dr. Smith or Matt Smith Doctor Who episode?
Which one was that?
It's the first one.
The first one. You haven't watched any more?
I haven't watched any more of them.
I'm going to have to fix that.
I'm going to. Well, yeah,
I think they're on Netflix. At least the first season is.
No. The Matt Smith stuff all went up like last week.
Okay.
Yeah. John discovered it, and he's all like, oh.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, yeah. We'll see if you fall into the camp of Stephen Moffat ruined Doctor Who, because I've talked to some people like, I hate it. I tell those people to...
Do I seem like that kind of person?
No.
Okay. Just making sure. Stephen Moffat's fucking awesome.
I don't think that. I think it's different.
Yeah, and I think that's good, you know?
Different's good.
I'm still more of a fan of David Tennant, but...
Yeah, we're talking different styles of show at this point.
My favorite Doctor is Eccleston. I loved Christopher Eccleston as Doctor Who.
Yeah, he'll never come back, though. I never knew what the deal was there,
why he had such a short run, but...
He did not have a good time on set at all.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
I didn't start watching until just about a year and a half ago.
I started watching it right before Matt Smith took over.
Yeah.
Like, right before...
I got you into it about a year and a half.
Right when we started the podcast, over 2 years ago, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're getting a new, I believe she's 24 years old, Jenna Louise Coleman. It is a 25-year-old, excuse me.
How old's Matt Smith?
I don't know.
I'll look it up. Go ahead.
But 25-year-old Jenna from Blackpool, England, will star alongside the 11th Time Lord Matt Smith to mark the biggest year in the show's history. Best known for the roles in Emmerdale and Waterloo Road. And I also looked at her filmography, and apparently she had a small part in Captain America. So I'm
older than Doctor Who.
My wife,
29,
twisted my arm, and I'll tell you, I'm not a big reality TV fan, but she twisted my arm and she wanted to watch it. So I ended up watching Dancing with the Stars the other night.
Uh-huh.
Katherine Jenkins is on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I knew that.
I was watching that and I thought, who is that? And I realized halfway through it, and I had to go look it up to make sure, but she played in the A Christmas Carol episode of Doctor Who with the flying fish. She was the opera singer.
Oh, okay.
She was the blonde singer that they kept coming back to every year.
Nice.
And she is on Dancing with the Stars this year.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, Matt Smith is 29 years of age.
Well, Jenna Louise Coleman is joining him as the new companion. She is a brunette, and she's darn cute.
Cool.
So
well, it's not like Doctor Who blinks the companion anyway.
No,
it doesn't really matter.
No, because they look Time Lord.
The article that you had posted said this year it's going to be a pretty big year, but the departure is going to be of Amy and Rory. It's going to be pretty emotional, from what I understand. And when you have a 11-year-old daughter who still cries when she watches the departure or the quote death scene or death episode of Rose Tyler,
Yeah.
This is going to be a very difficult season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have some time to get ready for it because they're not going to start airing it until later this year. So.
August, right?
I believe so, yes.
They did the Christmas special, and then I got into an argument with somebody
about
this.
They're not splitting the season this year.
No, absolutely not, no. But
it's just fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're not doing season part one, season part two. They're going to do the whole thing in one.
Very good.
One lump sum, which fine with me. I devour and love that show. So.
It's a good show.
And the last bit I got, we've talked a little bit about Alfred Hitchcock and the Making of Psycho movie. They've added a slew of new people to it. First, they announced that Jessica Biel has been added to the cast. She will be playing...
Crew? So she's not going to be like a boom operator or something?
Yes, she'll be a boom operator.
Good.
Jessica Biel will portray Psycho star Vera Miles in the movie.
Actually, I can see that.
Then they announced that there are four actors that are currently in negotiations to join Alfred Hitchcock in the Making of Psycho, that being Toni Collette, Danny Houston, Michael Stuhlbarg, and Michael Wincott.
Really?
So...
Last time I remember, they're
shaping up with a pretty good cast in this movie.
Last time I remember seeing Michael Wincott was in the remake of the that what was that movie called? The Dumas movie, Count of Monte Cristo.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking old and fat. And that was like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of wonder what he looks like now.
Probably old and fat.
Older and fatter.
Older and fatter, yes.
Yeah.
This is Michael Wincott the Hutt now, you know.
Yeah. Michael Wincott.
But that's all that's the news. That's all the news I got.
We aren't going to talk trailers?
We can.
We should talk trailers.
We can, because there was an awesome trailer that came.
Awesome trailer, yeah.
We finally got the full Prometheus trailer this last week.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch this, Jason?
I did not.
You should. It's something else.
I even went to, because you know there's a Wayland Industries website, right?
Yeah.
I went in and I read their timeline, too.
Cool.
So apparently the movie is taking place in about 2073.
That's not too far away.
No, it's not.
I don't think I'll make it that far, but, you know.
Oh, well, you know, we'll see.
I doubt it. See, that's... Yeah, I don't think so. Unless
That'd
they come
be
up
99.
With...
99.
What's that?
I said I would be 99. I don't see myself 20s. Making it.
Yeah, me too. So I don't think I'll make it.
If I make it, then I'll be very old and crotchety.
Well, I'm already old and crotchety.
Yeah,
32.
Older and crotchetier.
Yeah. The thing that I just keep saying to people about this trailer is you see the space jockey walking around. I mean, mm-hmm. That just broke my mind and made me insane for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
It was just...
Very rarely do I sit and watch a trailer more than once. I think I watched this thing about three times.
I did, too.
Because I was like, this looks so awesome.
And, you know, I had to really just, like, sit down and have a conversation with myself about this trailer. And I actually think I'm looking forward to Prometheus more than Dark Knight Rises, which isn't like me at all.
No, that's a bold thing to say, man. It's a bold thing.
I don't know, man.
It's something I would say.
It's not something I would say, and I might be there. I just might be there.
I don't even want to chart where how much I'm looking forward to this movie, because that would break the chart.
Yeah. There's also a new trailer for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yes.
Did you see that?
No, I've only seen the first one.
I just got to say, this movie looks stupid as hell, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
It just looks like it's going to be fun.
It totally looks like the director's like, eh.
Who cares?
I'm doing a movie called Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Fuck yeah, I'm having some fun.
I mean, they're just... I mean, it blows my mind because it just strikes me as something that Aaron, the movie snob, would just go after.
I just hope people mistake it for a biopic. That'd just be awesome.
That'd be even better.
That'd be the best thing ever.
I hope that in, like, you know, 5-10 years, like, you know, school kids are going to be like, I heard that Abraham Lincoln was a vampire hunter. And like, oh, shit, just go jump off a bridge.
And that was correct, little boy.
That was correct, yes. And then there's a new trailer for Snow White and the Huntsman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear God.
Good, bad, or ugly?
What's ugly times Shay?
Okay, does it look worse than Mirror Mirror?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh, wow. Really? Huh. Didn't expect that.
Okay, my thing about Mirror Mirror is it looks like a comedy gone wrong.
Yeah.
But you can see where they're going with it. It's just like, okay, this isn't hitting the right marks with me. There's nothing. The only thing worse than a comedy gone wrong is a drama gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This just looks awful. And I'm scared of it. I never wanted to see it at all. And now I don't want to see it even less than that. So it looks bad.
Yeah.
But the Prometheus trailer is like I haven't been as excited about it as a trailer as I have been since the Dark Knight Rises trailer. And this one came out of left field. I didn't know it was coming out or anything. I'm like, ooh, a new Prometheus trailer. And it was awesome. And Ethan's been watching some Aliens Blu-rays lately.
I have been devouring the Alien Anthology I picked up on Blu-ray, because you can get the region-free Blu-ray off of Amazon for about $33, which is a freaking steal.
I actually plan on doing it eventually.
And it works great. It looks great. And, man, I devoured...
Did they fix the sound mix?
I believe so, yeah.
Don't you remember the sound mix sucked ass on the DVDs?
It's hard for me to say because
have you watched the movies yet?
I have not. I haven't watched the movies yet. I'm just talking the
special features,
the documentaries, the Lowitzer or whoever, you know who I'm talking about, did these great documentaries about Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, and Alien Resurrection.
I love the Aliens one because it was so unapologetic. Yeah, James Cameron, I
thought the Alien
asshole.
3 one was awesome,
but
the one on the Blu-ray is finally uncut. So they actually, it's much more critical of the studio and sort of what happened
Is David Fincher involved in that?
No, David Fincher refused to be involved with Alien 3 in any way after it was done. I mean, yeah. And after watching that documentary, you understand why he just was like, fuck this, I'm not touching this ever again. 92.
Thought so, because I remember when it came out, and this is pre, you know, widespread internet. I'm not going to say pre-internet, because I'm not dumb. I know the internet started in the 60s. But pre-widespread internet, I remember there was all these tabloids running with it, saying that, you know, the way this movie was going to end was Sigourney Weaver's character was raped and killed by the alien at the end of the movie. And I remember thinking, well, the aliens don't fuck. You know, they do those little face hugger thingies. How the hell would it rape her? And then I ended up finding a copy of the book and read it before the movie came out. And yeah, so I remember.
Yeah, it's just the documentaries on it are really amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a 6-disc set, 4 discs for the movie, 1 disc for the anthology bonus features, and then 1 disc for additional features. It's got all those documentaries, plus it's got the deleted scenes from the documentaries.
Wow.
Which each one is about another hour worth of stuff. So we're talking $33. Yeah, and we're talking like each documentary is about 3 hours long plus another hour.
How many discs is that? Three?
The whole set, 6 discs.
For $33?
Uh-huh.
Is this pirated?
No. It's an official shrink-wrapped copy.
Damn, I need to.
It's just the region-free edition. It's the one that's sold everywhere else.
Everywhere that's cool.
Yeah, and it's still in English. There's no wacky subtitling. The menus are all in English. It's the same thing. It's just region ABC.
I need to get the hell out of that, yeah.
And then after you got the documentary plus the hour of extra stuff, then you go on to the last disc, which is the supplemental stuff, and it's like copies of the scripts. It's got other documentaries that were made, like the Alien Saga is on there, and then two different edits of another documentary that was on TV, one that's 45 minutes and then a 65-minute version of it. It is chock full of stuff.
I did see you bring up an interesting point on Facebook that we ought to talk a little bit about.
I'm curious as to why Alien 3 gets as much shit as it does when Alien 4 is so much worse. The documentary on Alien 4, because each one at the end has a reaction to the film, you know, and in Alien 3, everyone's like, well, you know, it sucked, and this is what we did wrong. Whereas in Alien 4, they're just pussyfooting around the fact that the movie was a piece of shit.
I actually
kind of
liked it, yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I didn't listen to the critics, I liked it, I really liked Alien Resurrection, da-da-da, and I'm like, were you watching the same movie? Because it was awful.
Maybe they're thinking you're talking about Alien 3.
And my only guess was that the especially at the time when they did those documentaries was probably, I think, back in 2003,
that they were hoping that
they were going to make an Alien 5 and they wanted to somehow be involved in it, so they didn't want to piss off the studio. Say what you will about Alien 3, I think Alien 3 is fascinating to me because of what we still got out of especially when you learn about the making of and what all it went through to get made,
it's a miracle it was made.
Yeah, and it's a miracle that we had something coherent on screen to end with. And it's a testament to how good Fincher is.
That's what I was about ready to say.
And you know, it's one of those things, and it gets a lot of shit. And I think for what it is, it's not nearly as bad as what people say.
No,
I think Alien 4, though, is just in every single
ounce of it, how bad
it is.
And I've always hated that movie.
And like I said, the only good thing I can say about Alien 4 is the underwater scene was filmed nicely.
I still say that's good scene transitions.
And the alien, actual alien effects, not the alien human hybrid
stupid thing.
All the other alien effects were good.
But that was pulled off of Geiger's designs, wasn't it?
Yeah, Geiger wasn't involved in 4.
But they had his designs.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. You know, Geiger was only directly involved in 1 and 3.
Right.
And even then he didn't, Jim Cameron is the one who designed the Queen.
We're gonna get into you know, absolutely, you know, La La Land, make pretend. But could you imagine H.R. Geiger and James Cameron butting heads?
Yeah, that'd be terrifying.
That would have been something else.
But it's interesting to see, and you know, you sit down and you look at it, and the first movie's directed by Ridley Scott. Three Academy Award nominations for Best Director. The guy's done fucking Blade Runner. Come on. I mean, this is one of the best filmmakers ever.
Yep.
The second one, James Cameron, who also, I believe, has 3 nominations and one, including 1 win for Titanic. I mean, this is a guy who is...
Technically 2 wins, because he got director and picture, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm only counting director, but... Mm. And then you have David Fincher, who I believe has been nominated 3 times. Either 2 or 3 times now, I can't remember. I think it's 3
Certainly
times.
Certainly 2. I'm trying to think of what the third would have... Oh, yeah, Benjamin Button.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 3.
No wins, but I mean, damn, no one can argue that he's not a good director. And then the fourth one is Jean-Pierre something, who has an Oscar for writing.
He won an Oscar for
writing? He won an Oscar for writing Amelie.
And I was amazed at that, because I liked Amelie.
And that was the only time he's ever won or been nominated. And I'm like, and it's an interesting watch, because they talk about briefly that they were thinking about trying to get Danny Boyle to do it. And I'm like, that would have been much more in line with
It
would have been interesting.
I like Danny Boyle.
And, well, you know, Joss Whedon wrote the fourth one.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote the script for Alien Resurrection.
Did it get butchered?
Apparently not so much. No, it was pretty much the director and his vision doing crazy.
Bad Joss Whedon then.
Yeah. Because if you take everything away from it, it could have been good. It's just that I think it's entirely the director came in and fucked it all up.
I would like to see somehow an anti Winona Ryder cut of that movie.
Oh yeah, she's so
ruined
bad.
That
she's
movie.
So
for
bad
me.
In that. And they talked to her for the DVD.
She's like, I thought it was great. That's why
I
stole it.
Yeah. Well, no, and there is one part in that where she does talk about, it's like, well, I where she talks about taking things from the set, like alien goo and whatnot, and I just thought that was hysterical.
That is pretty funny.
Because, you know, a couple years after that, she gets in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm like, I bet you did take a bunch of shit.
So do you think there'll be xenomorphs anywhere whatsoever in Prometheus?
No.
You don't even think there'll be, like, a post-credits... thing.
I don't think so.
Maybe face hugger.
I don't know.
Bishop?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to get my hopes up.
Where's
stuff
Alien
like
versus Predator?
Huh?
Where does Alien versus Predator sit in the
chronology or it's they're prequels.
What are?
If you want
to
get
I understand they're prequels to the films, but
right.
Where do they fit with in the whole 2073 or whatever you said before.
They're way before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because Alien vs. Predator actually set contemporarily in like 2004. And then AVP Requiem takes over right at the end of that. So
see, I still haven't seen those movies, and I don't want to.
Basically, I sat down and figured out the continuity is with Alien Predators, you go Predator, Predator 2, Alien vs. Predator, Alien vs. Predator Requiem, Predators, then now Prometheus.
I liked
and
that
then
one that you just said.
Predators?
Yeah.
Predators was good.
It was okay. It had the pianist in it.
Yeah, and then Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection.
Have you seen any of these movies, Jason?
Not for a long, long time. That's why I'm keeping my mouth shut. I've not seen Alien or Aliens 2 in oh my gosh, forever.
See,
and we go off on a long tangent about Aliens.
I have seen.
Regardless, right. it's a really good set, though. I mean, for $33 I recommend everyone buy it.
I would buy. You know, I would not. It would not be beyond the realm of possibility in my brain paying $33 for an Alien set with all that crap on it.
Yes, you even get Alien Resurrection, but you don't have to watch it. That's all I can say.
Two free coasters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's one free coaster.
One free coaster.
Yes.
But yeah, Alien is I mean, I love Alien so much. Mm-hmm. Aliens is one of those movies that really takes me back to when I was like a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Well, I was watching those and we were talking online about the Kenner Aliens toys that came out in 92 and... you know, like they had random ones in there, like the bull alien and the scorpion alien and the snake alien, and they were just so random. The alien figures weren't bad; the human figures were terrible.
I had the queen alien.
Yeah, and I remember you could squeeze the back of her head, and the mouth would shoot out. Yes.
I had that one. I had the power loader, and I hated it.
I remember the power loader. Like when the power loader. Oh, that's not the power loader.
It made sense for a toy, but it was still disappointing.
Yeah,
because it had like tank tracks instead of like walking.
Yeah.
And then I had the Ripley figure that came with the flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this little thing that hooked onto her belt, and you would twist her waist, and the flamethrower would shoot out. And I remember there was a Bishop figure, and I hated that fucking figure.
He had
sunglasses. He looked like who is that Max Headroom. He looked Headroom. His head had like all these metal plates all over it. He had sunglasses on, and he came with a goddamn Gatling gun.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, he didn't shoot
at all. He touches a gun once and then immediately hands it to Ripley.
Exactly. And it was bad. But I like I do remember enjoying the Queen Alien figure. And I found one online for
it's like 10 11 bucks. So they're obviously not collector's items.
No. But I still have memories of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and but strictly speaking, it's for $33 off of Amazon. Just search Aliens, just to do Alien Anthology region free, and I think it should pop up. It's worth every penny.
You know, I almost don't want to buy it because I'm wondering what's going to happen with Prometheus. But,
at the same time. Either way, the extra features on this are worth. I mean, talking, it's like over 50 hours of stuff on this thing. It's so good.
It's good stuff.
So awesome. But I devour extra features.
I think we all do. I think we all do. Well, I think that we've really gone overboard on Geekly Happenings.
Maybe.
So why don't we say that we're going to end Geekly Happenings and come right back with our main topic discussion about superhero films.
Okay, we're going to end Geekly Happenings and come right back with a discussion on superhero films.
That's what she said. Like we kind of teased a little bit in our opener, we are going to we're not going to revisit a topic, but we're going to we are going to be doing a topic that we have visited somewhat in the past. Back in the day, we did a comic book movies, our top six favorite comic book movies with Ed Douglas. And when I made my list, I purposefully did it in such a way to where there's comic book movies but not superhero movies. And when Jason was listening to this show, he grabbed that and he ran. And he said, hey, why don't we do our top six favorite superhero movies? And like I said, this was pretty easy for me to do because I tried to do my comic book movie one without the superhero aspects in it, and so I was able to do this. Ethan, not so much, but Ethan's a smart guy. I'm sure
I explained it then.
Yeah. I'm sure Ethan can... Ethan can do this in such a way to where, you know, he's got a new list, and Jason's just new to this whole thing. So this discussion should turn out to be at least something interesting. Yeah.
And I decided when I was attacking this list to, rather than just basically redo my my comic book list that I did, because I included superhero stuff in there, rather than just omit things that aren't superhero stuff and keep in, because really my list wouldn't change the whole heck of a lot.
Right.
I decided to do something, the top, my top 10 underrated superhero movies.
There you go.
I decided to go in and you know, look at ones that people generally don't like or, for the most part, don't get a lot of loving.
Yeah.
That, you know, are ones that I think aren't that as bad as people say they are. And I wanted to
honestly,
throw those out. So
there's very few movies that are as bad as some people say they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because some people just don't understand adjectives. They go for the top shelf or the bottom shelf for all their words.
And I definitely organize my list with you know, four that I don't really care about talking about, and then six I do want to talk about. So, but, you know, my love of the superhero genre is well known at this point. I mean, when I... people listen to the show know I'm a gamer. I got into gaming through comic books because of the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game. I'm a huge Marvel Comics fan. I will often find myself sitting down and watching documentaries on comic books because I love them, and I think they're the modern mythology to me. I think they're really fascinating, and you get great characters out of them, great superheroes, and sometimes it's just fun to watch, you know, Superman, and you know, I still get a shiver down my spine. I still get goosebumps when Superman first shows up and catches Lois Lane and then catches the helicopter. And that scene is just so...
It's iconic.
It's just so wonderful, you know. Yeah. And we've talked about the iconic roles and iconic actors who are playing them. You know, Chris Reeve as Superman, Robert Downey Jr. I think to an extent, we sort of touched on it, but I think to an extent also we've got Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Oh, absolutely.
And Patrick Stewart as Professor X.
Yeah, those are good ones.
I think those are people that if they recast
Ian
those
McKellen
parts,
and Magneto too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You got three really great castings in a single series right there.
So. And I just think it's awesome that we live in a time now where we're getting, you know, if you asked me 20 years ago, do you think they'll ever make an Avengers movie? I would have said, no.
No.
Never. Not in a million freaking years.
10 years ago, I would have said probably not.
Yeah, 10 years ago, I would have said no. And we're getting it, you know, in less than 2 months. We're getting the Avengers, and I'm sure as hell looking forward to it. My fiance got us tickets, and we're going to the Marvel marathon
that's got to be rough.
The AMC 30.
Wow,
that's got to be rough.
Yeah, we get to see Iron Man, Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, Thor, Captain America.
Are they in chronological order or no? Yes. Oh, are they?
They're in.
Wow.
Or I think it's Iron Man. I think then they're going straight to Iron Man 2, and then the Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk's before Iron Man 2.
Well, they sort of happen concurrently, so you could really swap them around.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. It might be Iron Man, then Incredible Hulk. They might be showing them in release order. I don't know.
Yeah.
However, I'm excited about it. That's why it's the first midnight showing I'm going to be going to, and for
a long time.
Yeah, for the Avengers, I'm looking forward to it. And the last three are in 3D.
Cool.
So you get to see, and you get special glasses. So you can pick Iron Man glasses, Hulk glasses, Captain America glasses, or Thor glasses.
Are you going to get the Cap glasses?
I don't know. The Iron Man ones actually look pretty good. So.
Do they?
The other ones just are kind of meh.
As far as my list goes, you know, like I said, I shaped my comic book list as to do this one at some point. So this is a pretty straightforward list for me, other than the fact that when I say superhero movies, that does not lock me down to comic book movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people...
Yeah, because there are some superhero movies that were not featured in comics.
No, absolutely not.
And that's sort of interesting. We got a lot of those. We do get them on occasion. We get them nowadays, but we got a lot of them back in the
early
90s. In the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, somewhat into the 80s, but nowadays we mostly get them on,
comic,
you know, direct to sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, get the, what were those, remember Stan Lee's Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
Yeah.
That Live Wire or whatever. So yeah, I mean, I love comic book I love comic books. I love superhero movies, and I think superheroes are just a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, and we've got, especially if you look at the last 10 years. I mean, the number of superhero movies is just enormous at this point. I mean,
absolutely.
We've got well over 50, 60, 70 to choose from. So it's a great time to sort of look at that list.
Yep, it's a good list. How did you build yours, Jason?
Well, Ethan made mention of the fact that this is our modern mythology, and that's so true. And we hear that quite often when you're talking about comic books and superheroes. But for me, Ethan talks about coming from it from a comic book background, mm-hmm. and I don't. I didn't read comic books as a kid. I wasn't, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, so it wasn't. I didn't spend money on comic books, even though they were cheap back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't something that I ever spent money on. So my, you know, for me, coming to superheroes was all about Super Friends and the Hall of Justice and Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that Firestar wasn't actually in the comic books until, you know, a few years ago.
Right.
You know, I get, you know, the mm-hmm. movies, the TV shows. I am a, you know, a pop culture buff, and I love that TV show sort of culture and mentality. And that's where I get a lot of my love for this stuff. And so that's where I came to the genre from. And honestly, I still don't read a whole lot of comic books. I've just now started picking up some of the, well, not picking up, but the digital initiative that DC's doing. I've picked up, you know, doing some of that now. But this, my list came from my love of, you know, growing up from television and that sort of thing. And then looking at my list, I did the same sort of thing. Not all of mine are from superheroes. I put some of them are just movies I wanted to talk about, kind of structured my top six that way. And, you know, we'll get into there and we'll see that some of them are like, why in the world did you pick that one? Some of them aren't the best movies, but some of them are, you know, iconic. Some of them have, you know, just a warm place in my heart. So we'll get into talking about that too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Aaron, how did you attack your list?
I just said. But basically, when I did my comic book, movie list, it was, you know, I was able to be all tricky and shit and sneak like Road to Perdition in there and stuff like that. But in terms of my list, basically what I looked at was you know, stories that I felt were superheroic. And to me, superheroic does not necessarily mean, you know, Superman. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, Cyclops or, you know, magical abilities. It's just somebody who's really, 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 really good at what they do, and then, you know, go ahead and tack that on to an interesting story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look at the scope of their... the scope of their actions versus the scope of their abilities. I've said time and time and time again that I'm more interested in the, you know, the Batmans, the human characters, because, you know, I'm able to relate more with, mm-hmm. you know, somebody who like me can get shot and who can die, mm-hmm. you know, not somebody that would take, you know, a kryptonite bullet to, you know, ruin his day or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just something that, you know, it's, I'm not saying that there's no place for those. It's just like, for whatever reason, you know, whatever is my makeup, I just kind of appreciate the more down to earth approach to these kind of things. So, you know, that's how I structured my list. And like I said, I also was not, you know, I wasn't tied down to comic book movies. I was just, mm-hmm. you know, there's a couple of these I'm going to have a hell of an argument, you know, to, you know, prove that these are superheroic, but
sure.
But also some of them, no, not at all. But very good. You want to just get started on this, Ethan, and say what your number six is?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Let's do it.
My number six is definitely one that, again, I'm going for underrated movies here. And this one, I sort of loaded up the Rotten Tomatoes look at it. And this one's got one of the higher ratings of the ones I've got. It's got a 61%. It's the 1991 Joe Johnston Rocketeer.
I like that movie. Almost put it on here, but didn't.
And I, you know, it's one of those movies that I think a lot of people nowadays will look back and they look fondly on it. And it is based on a comic book. And it's obviously this pulp era, you know, Rocket Man. I remember seeing this movie and coming home and, you know, wanting to play Rocketeer, you know, and cause I mean, I was 11 at the time when this came out, and, it's, you know, Bill Campbell. I mean, you know, Bill Campbell, Jennifer Connelly and,
Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin and
James Bond.
And James Bond himself, yes.
Timothy Dalton.
It's such a great movie, and I know when they announced that Joe Johnston was directing Captain America, I just was thumbs up all the way because he did this movie too, and I was like, this is, you know, perfect. This is, you know, they were talking about, oh, who should we get to do direct Captain America, and my first instinct was get the guy who directed The Rocketeer, because, you know, he can get that feeling right. But The Rocketeer is, you know, by far, it's number six on my list, because I think there's a good amount of people out there that love it. But I think it's really underrated, and a lot of people don't think about it. It's got this great feeling of nostalgia to it, and it's got this great pulp era just this comic strip to it, and really sort of the scene I want to point at is the scene where there's the FBI agents, and then you also have the criminals, the mafia guys, the mob guys. They find out that they're working for the Nazis, and the mob guys turn on the Nazis and say, you know, I might be a crooked da 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 da, but I'm an American crooked da 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 da. And then there's a scene where they're fighting the Nazis, and I think it's Paul Sorvino is the mob boss, and he's standing there with the Tommy gun shooting at the Nazis, and he looks over, and it also in frame with him is one of the FBI agents firing away, and they look at each other. They sort of have this moment, and they shrug and go back to shooting at the Nazis. And I think that just sort of sums up what I love about the movie, and just sort of that feeling of adventure, and this feeling of just fun that was in there.
It's a fantastic movie.
I love it.
And we've talked a lot about it.
You know, it finally came out on Blu-ray. I'd love to see a nice edition of this come out. And we did get a good transfer of it, but there's no special features or anything, sadly. But oddly, the audience rates it at a 54%, which kind of makes me scratch my head, because I generally meet people who love it. So I remember I saw this multiple times.
You must be just meeting a higher caliber of people.
I must be. But it's a great movie.
I'm not surprised that people don't like it, because people are stupid.
Yeah. So that's my number six is Rocketeer.
I've never actually seen it. It's one I'm looking forward to actually seeing. I heard you guys talk about it in a previous show, and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely something that I'd like to see. But it's not something that I've seen. And if he does as good a job with The Rocketeer as he did with Captain America as a director,
I think it's way better than Captain America. But and I love Captain America, but I just love The mm-hmm. Rocketeer. I mean, it's just such pulp era Americana goodness.
Right. Yeah.
Such a fun, fantastic movie.
Yeah, great movie. Great movie.
Well, very good. Jason, what's your number six?
So my number six is the first one that I'm going to have to do some real defending on. It is one that is not based on a comic book. And this comes from partially putting this question out to my family as well. But my number six is the 2005 Walt Disney movie Sky High.
That's a great movie.
I do like Sky High, yeah. Bruce fucking Campbell's in it.
He is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a movie that and some of these movies are on this list because of this, but movies that anytime you see it on, you just watch. Mm-hmm. It's you don't have to, you know, if you're flipping through like nothing else is on, you'll sit down and watch it because it's uplifting, it's fun, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It stars Kurt Russell and Kelly Preston, and you know, just as a fun movie to watch. It kind of has a Harry Potter for superheroes sort of vibe to it.
Yeah.
You know, because they're trying to play off the, you know,
it's very much Disney does a superhero movie.
Oh yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. It's got all the beats that you'd expect out of it, out of a high school sure. Disney does superhero stuff. But it's all good stuff. You can tell all the actors in it are having fun.
It's a cute little movie.
Yeah. You know, it's still a high school movie, but with superheroes and
right.
You know, yeah. And you get it's always fun to see Kurt fucking Russell and Bruce fucking Campbell in a movie. So
yeah, especially together.
That's twice the awesome there.
Uh-huh.
When Bruce Campbell's doing his thing as the gym teacher, it's just, mm-hmm. He's just great. Hilarious. you know, it is one of those things that doesn't take itself too seriously. It knows what it is,
mm-hmm.
especially with, you know, with those guys and Kelly Preston as the mom as well. You know, they're cheesy as the superheroes and, you know, over the top. And that's all part of the having fun with the genre and having fun with a movie. Mm-hmm. So that's why I put it on my list at number six.
Yeah, sort of
good one.
Sort of like the scene in the movie where Kurt Russell breaks his phone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think that
drawer full of phones.
Yeah, and he just pulls open a drawer, pulls another one out, because it obviously happens all the time. And it's a fun movie. You could tell that they were having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good one. I haven't seen it a whole lot, but I've seen it at least twice. And I did enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy it quite a bit.
When you have a 10-year-old, you tend to watch movies over and over again, especially ones.
I got the 6-year-old, and we're watching movies over and over again, but right now it's crap like Dougal and just not sky high. Maybe I just need to turn her on to it. I can watch something kind of cool.
Yeah.
But my number 6 is probably the one on my list that has the most argument laden stuff in it. It's one I would not show the 6-year-old. It's not based off a comic book, but I do think in a lot of ways it is a superhero movie, and it's just not one that jumps out at people. It's a 1987 Richard Donner film, Lethal Weapon. Martin Riggs is a superhero. I'm sorry. You know, Superman's, you know, got his invulnerability, his flight, his you know, laser vision. Batman's a genius with all this stuff. I guess Martin Riggs' super ability is pure ass fucking luck or psychoticness or something.
Entirely don't agree with you being a superhero movie.
It's a superhero movie, man.
I don't see it.
It's a superhero movie, man.
It's an 80s action movie, dude.
It's a superhero movie.
If you're saying that's a superhero movie, then so is Die Hard.
Which is my number 10. Because, because, you know, it's, you know, we have to accept these modern day comic book movies as our modern day mythos. So I don't think that we just need to say, well, the only reason why this is our modern day myth is because you know, it started 50 years ago in a funny book. No, this one started 27 years ago in the Lethal Weapon movies. I mean, we had our discussion about this. I don't think we did it on the show, but there's stuff in here going on to where there's just crazy bullshit going on. Obviously, if this were a real story,
I had a discussion with a guy who complained because he didn't like the Lethal Weapon movies because they weren't realistic.
No, and that's my thing.
And I'm like, really?
They're not cop procedurals.
No,
they're stupid fucking action movies. But there's just an otherworldliness to them because you don't go and
they're super cops.
They're super cops, and our modern day heroes are our law enforcement officials, and I'm not stretching, but I'm saying this isn't that big of a fucking stretch.
I actually considered RoboCop for my list,
and you know point. That would absolutely I could see that one as well.
Now with Lethal Weapon, I still can't hear Jingle Bell Rock without thinking of the opening scene of Lethal Weapon. Every time I hear that, it's still one of my Christmas movies.
And Lethal Weapon 2, I probably like better than the first one because it kicks it up to 11. Mm-hmm. It's probably more of a superhero movie, but I think that Riggs is just more superhero like when he isn't happy, when he's suicidal, when he's really pushing things to the limit like he does, when he's actually trying coke in the Christmas tree lot, when he's jumping off the side of the building with the suicidal guy, when he's doing all this crazy fucking shit that wouldn't seem out of place if he just had a cape on. And you know, that's why I kind of think of it as more of a modern day superhero story. I understand I'm stretching here, but I think it's at least a little bit appropriate.
Well, you can also think of how many times you see bullets flying around and none of those guys get hit.
Exactly.
They live.
Well, you know. And out of the second one, he gets shot several times and survives.
With a 357. Wouldn't live.
No, it's not with a 357. It's with a Mauser.
It's with a 357 because he's talking about it in part 3 when he's doing he's doing the thing with Rene Russo. Don't fuck with my movie knowledge, boy.
Uh-huh. Or watch those, too. So.
Yeah.
Granted, I watched 3 at like midnight. So.
It is awesome. They're good movies. Yeah. I like all 4 of them.
Oh yeah, and you know, at some point we need to do an action movie episode. It's what I've been waiting for.
That'd be on there, man.
80s action movies entirely one. We
and
can do,
you know, but, absolutely, it's an 80s action movie.
Oh yeah,
but at the same time, it can fall into like this wide
girth and, of superheroes.
And I think there's been a trend. I don't see. I guess I could see it really that the action heroes and action movies in the 80s had a much more superheroic type of bend to it. And then in the 90s they were much more humanized. And then nowadays they're much more superheroes again. So
well, like
because you have guys who was like, well, I am supreme badass, and
Well, do you remember the advertisements for Die Hard when it came out? It was no cape, no mask, no problem, because it came out after fucking Batman and
for
Die Hard
before Batman.
Then it was Lethal Weapon 2. It was one of these movies, and that was the tagline. It was like no mask, no cape, no problem, and that was what they were doing, is they were trying to make this. I think they're kind of a modern day superhero story. It's not that big of a stretch, but it's kind of a stretch.
And what's different between Lethal Weapon, right, and Riggs versus the Punisher?
Nothing.
No,
nothing at all.
We would say that the Punisher is a superhero.
The Punisher is more realistic than Riggs. I mean, especially the Thomas Jane one. I picked it my number six. Like I said, I knew Ethan was going to disagree with me on this, which is fine. I mean, we don't always need to be patting each other on the backs on this show. So it's my number six, and I'll live with it. Ethan, what's your number five?
And us disagreeing is, kind of cordial, and we go, that's fine. That's your opinion, old bean.
Yeah.
But Lethal Weapon...
I don't remember what movie it was, but...
Lethal Weapon 2 came out in 89, so...
Maybe that was what it was, because I remember it very much that the tagline was like no mask, no cape, no problem, or something like that. And I was 9 or 10 or whatever when that came out, and to me it was just so blatant, even as a 9 or 10 year old, that okay, they're obviously doing this because of Batman, because Batman was huge when it came out. So it's my number six. So whatevs.
There you have it. Moving on to my number five. See, all of mine are firmly rooted in comics. That's the way I
think. Not mine.
My number five, and again, going into underrated here, is the 2003 Daredevil.
I like Daredevil. It's not on my list, but I do like it.
It's not on mine either, but I like it as well.
It's one that gets a lot of crap, and
I liked it better than Spider-Man. And I was not a fan of Spider-Man, but I did
Which
like
Spider-Man?
The first one.
The first one.
I love Spider-Man 2, though.
But Daredevil gets a lot of crap, and I think it's a lot more solid a movie, even the regular cut. I mean, the director's cut is even better.
Yeah.
The director's cut adds in half an hour of storyline, more Foggy Nelson, a lot more stuff sort of makes sense here and there, but it's not nearly as bad as people say.
No.
I mean, a lot of people go off on how, Ben Affleck, and I think it's entirely because Ben Affleck's in it.
Probably.
Yeah, I didn't think he was a great Matt Murdock, but I mean, he wasn't horrible.
No, he's good. He's not, stab myself in the face bad. He's still a good actor, and he still knew the character, and he still tried to sort of emulate those comics, and they were based on a really good comic series too. So they had a lot of that's one DVD I really enjoy watching, because it's got that trivia track on it that sort of says, this is from the this, shot is sort of inspired by this cover type of thing, and all the little nods, because the movie is full of little tiny nods to the comic books.
It was one of those DVDs that had just incredible special features.
And then the director's cut came out, and he had even more good stuff. But, for instance, Daredevil, a lot of the names that they sort of pop out, a lot of the boxers, are all names of Daredevil artists, And I've never been a big Daredevil fan when I was reading the comic books. I was familiar with the character, but he just really didn't jive with me. But this is a movie that a lot of people give shit. I mean, it's got a 45% rating on Rotten Tomatoes and a 46% from the audience. So it's pretty universally people are like, this is bad.
I really like Colin Farrell in it.
Colin Farrell's great. I mean, it was the first movie he didn't have to disguise his accent.
Yeah.
I don't understand the crap that the movie gets. I really don't. I think it's a solid movie. It's got a good story. It's got good acting.
I actually did like it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I like that one.
So, I mean, it is what it is, and I just don't understand it. A lot of people give it a real bad rap, and they shouldn't.
Nope. Ethan, I'm glad you're doing your list like that with those underrated, because I think that, there are a lot of good movies that we don't get to talk about because just as you said, they get a bad rap, and I think Daredevil is definitely one of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good movie. It's a fun movie. Me coming from the TV and side of things, Daredevil was not a character that I was really familiar with. Because
so in the Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just, you know, there's not a lot out there for Daredevil, and I enjoyed it when I watched it. It was a fun movie.
I haven't seen it in years, but I do remember. I was the Spider-Man bored the hell out of me because I was really, 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 really familiar with his origin story, and that's pretty much all the movie was.
Yeah.
And I didn't see why the hell they needed to make it 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they didn't really waste a lot of time with crap like that in Daredevil. You know, to me, Daredevil was about actually exploring and exploding upon the plot, and Spider-Man was about setting this up really well for a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just... Mm-hmm. So I do remember that. I do remember thinking that.
And sort of rolling out of Daredevil, there's an honorable mention from you is Elektra.
I didn't like Elektra.
It
wasn't bad.
It's not as good as Daredevil was.
No.
It's not great,
it's
per
not
se,
awful.
But it's not like, you raped my childhood.
No, absolutely not.
So
some good actors in it. Jason Isaacs was in it.
Well, yeah, Jason Isaacs, very briefly.
Yeah, but he was in it.
And Terrence Stamp.
And Terrence Stamp.
We do love Terrence Stamp.
I like Terrence Stamp a lot.
So, yeah, that's my number five is 2003 Mark Steven Johnson Daredevil.
Very good. What do you say, Jason? What's your number five?
Number five for me is the 1989 Tim Burton Batman.
Not on my list.
Really?
Not a fan.
If I were talking game changers, that'd be definitely on there.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I saw that movie like 6 times in theaters.
It
changed the way that I thought of superhero movies. Finally, we're getting some sweet superhero movies. You know?
I got warm and fuzzy memories of it, absolutely. But I have seen it since then. I've seen it recently, and boy, has it not aged well. I mean,
it's very much an 80s movie, and
that's fine, but... neither are some other movies on the list either.
Yeah.
And as we get further down the road, some of these other movies that we're already talking about aren't going to age very well.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right about the warm and fuzzies and it being a game changer and all those things. It was the first real powerful superhero movie since the run of Superman movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was... Yeah, obviously the first of the Batman, especially of that run of Batman movies. I think Michael Keaton did a great job, and he had just come off of Beetlejuice.
I love Beetlejuice.
When they announced Michael Keaton as the actor for Batman, I was thinking, Mr. Mom?
Yeah, that's what everybody thought.
Yep.
I
was 9,
and
so
they
I didn't
had,
think
they
that
had
kind
to release
of stuff.
They had to release like a little screen test thing to basically say, okay, people, chill out. The guy can act. Yeah. So
I was 15 when it came out, and I remember the excitement around it. You guys talked about that in another show, how much excitement there was about this movie.
It was electric.
Jack Nicholson. I'm telling you what, I was really disappointed in The Dark Knight, you never once hear anything about the my favorite line of Batman. Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Mm-hmm.
You know that just.
I'm glad that wasn't in there because then that movie would have got attacked for ripping off the 89.
I know. Well, and I get that. I do.
I understand that they. I'm sure Nolan really wanted to separate himself from that original stuff because I for a while I heard like Adam West was going to cameo in Batman Begins and stuff like that, and obviously it didn't happen. And I can understand not wanting to be associated with that.
He's doing his own thing. If not that sort of thing, you know, Jack Nicholson did a phenomenal job as a Joker.
He was real good.
To do that as and to pull that off when, you know, what you looked at previously, I mean, really, you look back to Romero.
Well, and I still have moments where I look at someone and go, Bob Gunn,
yeah,
and that's entirely something I still do. I mean, I could do it with my brother, like right now. I could just go to Eric and go, Bob Gunn, And this he knows exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, this town needs an enema.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever been robbed of a good performance. I don't think we've ever been robbed of a good performance for the Joker.
Nope, ever.
Right. I think we've always had a good one.
I think Cesar Romero was a great Joker.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was too. You might have shaved the mustache under the makeup. But
that added to it for me.
That was great.
Yeah, you know.
But, you know, everything about that movie, you know, how many people were in
that
it.
That movie means an enema.
You know, it was just, if we didn't get the successful Batman after the, you know, what had happened to the Superman series and how the Superman series, you know, started to wind down with 3 and 4.
Yeah.
You know, if Batman doesn't get, you know, isn't successful, granted, Batman turned into a joke as well. That's another story altogether. But I put it at number 5 on my list. It's not, you know, it's not, you know, 1, 2, or 3. But I put it on there, and that's why it's number 5 for me.
No, I completely agree with you. It's
I understand.
I still like that movie a lot.
I understand absolutely. I just disagree. To me, it's just. I find it cringeworthy now, and I don't like the fact that it feels a lot older than it is.
See, and for me, it's all in 1989. It was mind blowing.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I have my warm and fuzzies.
Yeah, you could not turn around without seeing the bat symbol.
This is summer of the Batman.
Summer, freaking year of the Batman. Yeah. At that point, you couldn't spit without hitting a bat symbol somewhere.
It was pretty sweet,
right?
And
we wouldn't be where we are now. I'm not saying I don't wish it happened. I'm just saying that.
And since you mentioned it, I have to say, Superman 4 was still awesome. But hey,
in its own fucked up way. Yep, I agree.
Yes.
And as far as I'm concerned. I completely agree that Batman went downhill, but I do not understand why everybody was so blindsided by it. To me, you look at those movies and you can see the downward trajectory.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And most people are all like, yeah, Batman is the greatest movie ever made. Wow, Batman Returns isn't as good as Batman, but boy was Michelle Pfeiffer awesome, completely ignoring everything that sucked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the other one came out, man, there was some cool action in there, and you know, Jim Carrey's cool, and you know, I like Tommy Lee Jones.
Batman Forever almost made it onto my list of underrated ones because it's another one that gets a lot of crap.
I like Batman and Robin a lot. Lot better than I should. I'm sorry, Batman.
Forever,
right?
And Batman. I think Batman and Robin gets too much shit. Mm-hmm. It is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
it's a modern day retelling of the Adam West stuff.
The Adam West Batman. Yeah,
I mean, honestly,
it is. And then that's kind of what's frustrating though is that I thought that they had turned the corner away from the Adam West Batman stuff with Batman.
Yeah,
I thought that they had gone away from that,
but not far enough.
Separate, you know, and we're going to avoid that camp.
All the bright colors and stuff, all the stupid pop music and stuff like that in that movie. To me, it's obviously leading to something like Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with that, other than the fact that it annoys me that the first three Batman movies get off the they're completely off the hook. You know, they're all like, these movies are great. And then Batman and Robin comes out, oh my God, you raped my childhood. I'm like, what the fuck were you expecting? What were you expecting?
Forever, I do agree with that.
Batman Forever, I put Batman Forever and Batman and Robin in the same category. Those two are, you know, the whole...
I think the worst of those four is Batman Returns. Batman Returns is unforgivable. That movie's awful. But I know I'm in the minority there.
I wish I could take the Penguin out of Batman Returns.
Yeah.
The rest of it I think is pretty decent.
But what about Max Schreck? He sucked.
Well, okay.
What about the remote control Batarang? That sucked. What about all the obviously over the top production design? That sucked. I mean, I think that people just give that movie way too much credit. I just think that people just let it go too much, and I think that it should be called to task more. I really don't like that movie, but that's just me.
Well, what's your what are we on? Your number?
My number five.
What's your number five?
My number five is yet another not comic book one, but I don't think I'm going to have as much of an argument with. At least I might, but it's a 1990 Sam Raimi film, Darkman. That's a comic book. That's a superhero movie.
Oh yeah,
that's a superhero
with Liam
movie.
Fucking Neeson and with Bruce Liam fucking Campbell.
Neeson and Bruce fucking Campbell. My thing about it is,
it's been forever since I saw that.
It's
movie.
A good. I like. First off, I like it. I've seen it a couple times, but I. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but Sam Raimi was trying to make... It might have been Spider-Man. No, it was Thor. He was trying to make a Thor movie, and he ended up not being able to get the rights, and he reworked everything and turned it into Darkman.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you got Liam fucking Neeson and Bruce fucking Campbell, kinda. Because he's at the very end as...
He's a shimp, yeah.
as the fake shimp. Larry Drake as... Durant, mm-hmm. who was only known for his guy from L.A. Was it L.A. Law?
Yeah.
Where he was the, I don't know what the word is, the simple-minded Lenny.
Yeah.
Or whatever his name was. And he was I remember that was one of the things that I always felt off-putting about that movie is because he was like this nice, sweet, dumb guy in L.A. Law, and he's chopping off a motherfucker's fingers with a cigar cutter. And I'm like, damn!
Well, I think the scene in that movie I thought was funny was when Liam Neeson's character, or when Darkman sets his hand on fire.
Yeah, and he didn't notice.
Doesn't notice, and he goes, oh! He just calmly puts it out.
I enjoy it. It's got all the tropes that you need for a superhero movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, and what did they make? Two sequels or three?
Two sequels. There's Darkman 2, Die Darkman Die, and
Darkman 3. That was Die. No, number two was
Return of Durant, and the third
three
one
was Die Darkman Die.
Yes.
And he's played by Arnold Vosloo in the sequels.
Yeah,
and I enjoy the original. I mean, it has been.
Oh, and the first one's Francis McDormand's in it.
Yeah,
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. It's a good movie. I mean, a lot of people haven't seen it.
Well, you know, good I think is borderline, but it's definitely a.
It's not a bad movie.
No, it's definitely a nostalgic movie. You go back and watch it. I remember that movie.
I remember that movie. I remember the toys when they sucked.
And you watch it, and it's so Sam Raimi.
There's
so much Sam Raimi in there.
It's a good movie. He drives around in the classic. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a good movie. It's a good movie. It's fun. I haven't seen it in a while. Go ahead, Jason.
When I was doing some research, that came across on several people's list as one of them. It's one that I haven't seen, but I saw that several times listed as a movie that people like really well.
It's a good one.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
It's a good
one. When did it come out?
1990, so it's 22 years old.
Yeah. Ooh.
We're old.
We are old. I remember when that came out, too.
Mm. Yeah, I do, too. Very well. I saw it in the theater. But, yeah, it's my number five. Nice. So what's your number four, Ethan?
My number four falls into the category of screw you people, I like this movie. I think it has the lowest... Yes, it has the lowest rating of all of my movies here on Rotten Tomatoes with a mighty 27%. It's the 2005 Fantastic Four. People bitch, moan, and complain about how absolutely terrible both of these movies were, and just say, fuck you people, I loved them.
No kidding.
I have this to say, and I'll leave it alone, because I know how much you like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Reed Richards was horribly miscast, and I think Doom was miscast.
Sure.
Other than that, whatever.
Whatever. I don't care. I still think the movie is damn fun and enjoyable. I think especially...
I like the first one way better than the second one.
See, and I like this. I thought the second one was better than the first one, but I still like both.
I would like the second one better if Doom weren't in it.
The extended cut of the first one is I think, better, too. Because, one, you get more... you get more thing. And, of course, I'm coming into this. I know I'm horribly biased. I love the Fantastic Four comics when I was a kid. I love... Doctor Doom is my favorite villain, and The Thing is my favorite hero. So, you know, dump all that, you know, you got three of my favorite things into a movie, and I'm like, you know, I'm just glad I'm getting a not that horrible Roger Corman movie. I'm getting this out of it, you know?
I almost put the Roger Corman movie on my list because I really enjoy that movie. It's it's awful, but it's fun to watch.
A couple of things that I think about the Fantastic Four. First of all, Jessica Alba, I'll watch anything she's in.
Yeah, I'd watch her read the phone book.
So. Right. Secondly, even though, you know, a blonde Jessica Alba was a little odd, I'll give that. I wasn't as put off with the casting of Reed Richards as I was as Doom. I think he was just getting some play off of his hit. I can't remember his name.
Burn Notice.
McMahon's his last name.
Julian McMahon.
Julian McMahon, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he I think he's getting more play off of his role on his FX series.
Nip Tuck. That was entirely
also,
play off
He was
of that,
also
yeah.
on Supernatural.
No.
Charmed, excuse me, same thing.
Charmed, yeah. The guy that plays Reed Richards, though, is currently playing on The Ringer with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Young girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I will say
he's a fine actor, but he just does not convey the intelligence you need for Reed Richards.
Okay. The one thing that this plays into another movie that appears somewhere on my list, and I won't say where yet, but Chris Evans, let's give the movie
he was a great Johnny Storm.
He's great Johnny Storm.
Although Michael Chiklis was an awesome
For me, this movie is made by Michael Chiklis.
Michael Chiklis was an amazing The Thing.
Sure.
He captured what made The Thing great for me.
He was perfect as the Thing, but
Chris
Evans,
ever-loving blue-eyed Thing, yeah.
And to see Chris Evans as Captain America bothers me.
Yeah, it's kind of a jarring.
It is
kind
jarring, but you know, my thing about it is I'm just so dismissive of the Fantastic Four movies that maybe it'll say, okay, those were a mistake, and now we got him where he needs to be.
You see, and I entirely don't think it was a mistake. I love the Fantastic Four. I love the Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer. I think they're both good movies,
but they could be done so much better.
You know, and I think they are what they are. I think we got entertaining movie out of both of them.
They certainly are what they are, but they can be so much better, and it's frustrating, because the Fantastic Four kicks fucking ass.
Yeah.
And the first it's all that goddamn origin story. You know I hate that.
And being a fan of the comics, it's hard. I can see how hard it would be to do a Fantastic Four movie correctly.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
People were really off-put by the comedy in it and the sort of family thing.
I'm like, that's
sort of the essence of what the Fantastic Four is.
They did that part right. They did the. Yeah, they did. Well, they had the family element right.
I think they did it right too. Is they did a great job with that, with those elements in there. But a lot of people hated it, and I'm like, guys, that's what the comics are. Is you get the Thing and Johnny Storm bickering back and forth all the time. But
that
they're
was good
they're
stuff.
It's this family mentality that goes in there. I'll agree that I think Julie McMahon was not the best Doom. I still love Dr. Doom, and I really would like to see an excellent portrayal of him. I totally want Fox not to give this back to Marvel Studios. What annoys me with the reboot that they're doing means we're not going to get Michael Chiklis back as the Thing, and I just think that's wrong.
I agree.
I think he's so good in it.
My only thing I have to say about that is Michael Chiklis was an amazing Thing. Mm-hmm. I thought he was so fucking good, but nobody else was even near that caliber of good in that movie. And so therefore, it's unfortunate, but I understand the wanting to distance themselves.
Yeah.
So is that why we wouldn't get a Michael Chiklis in there?
Yeah.
I mean, because he could be... I mean, I don't see why he couldn't do it.
No,
they could take Chris Evans and move him over to Captain America.
Yeah. Well, let's understand, though, that Fantastic Four is owned by Fox.
Yep.
And Captain America is Marvel Studios, and so that's the shared universe. Fantastic Four... You won't see the Fantastic Four in the Avengers movies, Iron Man, any of that, because it's owned by Fox. And Fox is planning on rebooting the franchise, and obviously they're going to recast. They're not just going to recast three out of the four. They're going to recast everybody.
It's absolutely possible.
It is, but
it's very unlikely.
It's entirely a studio mentality of saying we want to distance ourselves from the first two movies. We're going to completely recast everybody.
Well, the Thing is going to be completely CGI.
He's
going to
be CGI. I think that's going to hurt him.
I think it's fine. Yeah. I think it's fine.
And so that goes into this. You know, a lot of people give this movie flack, and to them, I just say fuck him because
I
love this movie.
I think it missed the mark.
Did you guys see Michael Chiklis in the TV series No Ordinary Family?
Yeah, that show sucked.
He played the Thing.
Yep.
I mean, he's a great Thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, and if you watch some of the extra features about this, you know, he's basically, he said when he went to go meet Stan Lee and talk movies with him, he said the first thing out of his mouth was Ben frickin' Grimm.
Yep.
And I'm just like, it just makes me so sad. I'm glad that we got two movies out of it, and two movies with him as the Thing. It makes me sad that we're not going to see him anymore. And it's not because he left the role. It's not because
no
anything. It's entirely a studio-based decision.
maybe if they get moving on it, it could happen. I would absolutely sign a petition right now.
Oh yeah, I totally would.
But my thing about it is, I think that Griffin, I thought he was not good. Actually, he was worse than Doom. But my problem with Doom, it wasn't McMahon's fault. It mm-hmm. was Tim Story's fault. I don't care about the "you need to see the actor" bullshit. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. He should be walking around just in that mask.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, give him your origin where you see him without the mask, but beyond that, no.
Yeah.
Fuck that. No, you don't do that.
Doom is such an interesting character that, yeah, I do agree with you on that.
No.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, that's...
There's one other person in that film, though, that needs a mention that doesn't get credit for half the stuff that he does, and that's Doug Jones.
Yeah.
Well, that's the second one, yeah.
Yeah, he's in the second movie. Yeah, and yeah, Doug Jones.
Silver Surfer.
I thought Silver Surfer was done great. I loved how they did Silver Surfer.
I like
Surfer.
How they did Silver Surfer, and overall that movie was pretty good, but I just I thought that Doom felt like he was there because
he was
in the contract.
Shoehorned in, yeah.
He was in the contract.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like that. But I also just was and as much as I'm arguing with you, I don't really care that much.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it just kind of missed the mark.
Yeah, but that's my number four. It's Fantastic Four 2005.
Hey, and it's your four. How cool is that?
Exactly.
So what's your number four, Jason?
Hey, my number four is Spider-Man 2.
I like Spider-Man 2.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, 2004. I think that of the Spider-Man movies, it's got the best villain. I think Alfred Molina as Doc Ock is perfect.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that they could have cast that any better. I think really people a lot of times will say that superhero movies come down to the villain, and I think that was a wonderful superhero movie with a great villain.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to worry about the origin story, cause that was out of the way. I like an origin story. I think that's great because, again, I'm not a comic book guy, so I don't have the comic books themselves.
Sure.
So for me to have gone back and read all of his origin stories, so origin stories are I like those in a movie. But once you get that out of the way, you get down to the nitty gritty, and I think that Spider-Man 2 did that really well. I think that everybody felt comfortable in their roles. And just took it to another level. I think Spider-Man 2 comes in number four for me.
Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. I think Spider-Man 2 was better than the first one. I like the first one just fine. The second one with Alfred Molina, it was one of those casting things that I remember they announced it, and it was like, okay, and Doc Ock's a villain. He's being played by Alfred Molina, and we go, really?
Perfect.
We go in the look, and we go, wow, that's actually, I would never have thought of it, and it's perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really want to point it, Spider-Man 2 is being probably one of the best superhero movies
ever.
I mean, because it's got all of those great points in it. It's got a great story, it's got a great cast, and it's just good all around. It's a really tightly done movie. Definitely love it. Definitely love it.
Well, that's why I got my number four.
Excellent, excellent. Aaron? What's your number four?
Well, so you don't have a conniption fit, I think I'll actually have a comic book one in here.
Thank you.
But this one actually is along the lines of what you're doing for your list. This is one that I think gets way, way too much shit, and I really, really like it. It's a 2003 Ang Lee Hulk. It's mm-hmm. not the Incredible Hulk, which I like just fine.
Yeah.
I like the Ang Lee Hulk, and I like it a lot. Obviously, there's some problems with it. I thought that they did too many night shoots, but I understand why they did that. They're covering up CGI imperfections. Everyone likes to attack the fact that the Hulk doesn't show up for 45 or 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool. I mean,
sort of look at that and go, yeah, but in Batman Begins, Batman doesn't show up for like an hour.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
So
I like the movie.
That's not uncommon.
This one almost fit. This one would have almost better fit into a comic book movie list than a superhero movie list
mm-hmm.
because I like a lot of the stuff they did with it, recognizing the fact that it's a comic book. Like some of the freeze frames, some of the stuff where you would actually see the different panels.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was neat. But what I did like about it was I liked how Ang Lee did his damnedest to try to ground it in some sort of reality. I understand it's not real. I mean, I'm not
a dumbass. But I like the fact that he went out of his way to try to at least explain cinematically, so to speak, that, you know, he had nanites or whatever it was in him. And mm-hmm. so, you know, the more angry he got, the bigger.
Nanomeds
or something weird like that. I firmly say that Eric Bana has been the best cast Bruce Banner so far. I loved Edward Norton. I thought he was great. I haven't seen Ruffalo yet. He might be very good. I don't know. But I think that he was an amazing Bruce Banner. I think that Jennifer Connelly was the much better Betty Ross. I think that Sam Elliott was hands down the better Thunderbolt, General Thunderbolt Ross. Just overall, I like pretty much all the casting in this movie better than The Incredible Hulk. And I really, really enjoyed the shit out of it. I think it's a good movie, and I think that this is one that gets a ton of shit from people, and I don't get it. And it frustrates me, because some of the stuff that people say about this, it just makes me dislike them. Because, you know, they're just showing their ADD nature, and the fact that, ooh, I want everything to be explodey, blow up, and Michael Bay-like, but, oh, they hate Michael Bay. And it's just, I don't know, I enjoy that. I enjoy the movie, and I liked it when it came out. I like Incredible Hulk just fine, but yeah. I like this one a lot. So it's my number four.
Hulk's hard to do.
Yep.
Really, if you think about it.
I didn't like the paneling as much as I thought that I would, when you'd see the comic book panel sort of thing. They seemed to just kind of... It didn't fit the movie or a movie style. And I understand it's coming from a comic book, so... But, you know, my basis for the Hulk is always going to be, you know, the old Bill Bixby.
Sure, and I love that show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, love that show.
Day. And I was looking for more of that, I guess, than I was, you know, the comic book by the panel and the whole Nick Nolte, you know, as
the absorbing man.
Yeah, that just kind of was okay.
I kind of liked the whole... David Banner as the bad guy thing, throwback to the... Because you know damn well Bill Bixby were still alive, he would have played the exorbitant man. You know it. And I enjoy this movie. I mean, I'm not saying it's not flawed, but I think that people just give it way too much shit. So I liked it.
Cool.
So what's your number three? Cookie.
Cookie.
Incredible Cookie Man.
The Incredible Cookie Man, yeah. No. My number three is another movie. That's kind of a low rating, 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. I just want to load up, see what generally people feel about this. And this is a movie, when I first saw it, I want to say I saw it with you. I can't remember. It was The Punisher.
Yeah, we saw that together.
2004's Punisher with Tom Jane.
I like that
movie. And I remember seeing it first and going, it was all right. And then I saw it when it came out on DVD. I was like, you know, I kind of like this. And then I saw it again, and I was like, you know, this is pretty good. Then I saw it again, I was like, screw this. I like this movie.
I could have lived without Travolta. Other than that, I really liked it.
Yeah. And I still stand by, I think Thomas Jane is the best Punisher.
Oh, no shit.
Out frickin' right.
Without a doubt.
And, you know, now that Marvel Studios has it back, I beg them to get Tom Jane back.
They won't.
They won't. It won't happen, but no. I beg them to do it. Mm-hmm. I would still beg them to do it. It's a good movie. I think it's the closest to what you get out of a Punisher movie that's not too over the top. I thought Warzone
was fun, but Warzone was so over the top.
It was way too over the top. And it was based on, I think I've talked about it, but
yeah.
Punisher is hard to do. Yeah. Punisher is, especially in the context of the Marvel Universe, Punisher is just so out of place. Where you have characters that run around with, you know, in capes and in tights and whatnot, and they're fighting crime and doing this. And then you have the Punisher who kills people. It's very much not your typical sort of Marvel thing. It's what you'd expect from Image. However, I love... this movie is based on the comic book series by Garth Ennis called Welcome Back, Frank, which was... in comic book history-wise, real quick comic book history moment, Punisher was sort of big in the... late 80s, early 90s. He had his own series. It was ongoing, and it was... You know, a lot of people liked it. Then they did Punisher Warzone, Punisher War Journal, etc. Then Punisher sort of fell off the radar, and people really stopped caring about him. And actually, Marvel licensed him to Image briefly, and Image did a Punisher line of comics that just
that gave him magical powers and was ridiculous.
Almost, but just real quick aside, the only 2099 I even remotely liked was Punisher and Doom.
Oh, yeah.
Punisher was okay. Doom was pretty fucking cool.
Oh, yeah.
Continue.
No, I agree. I was just talking to someone about Punisher 2099.
I liked it.
After that, Punisher was gone for several years in the Marvel Universe. They didn't use him. They didn't really do much with him. And then they came out with the Knights line of comic books, and they did a series with Garth Ennis, who is famous for doing the Hitman comics. Came out and did the storyline called Welcome Back, Frank. And to me, he sort of captured what was important about the Punisher, was that the Punisher is the only sane person in the Marvel Universe. He sees everything how it really is, that, you know, you see, he thinks Daredevil's a hypocrite because he doesn't kill people. He thinks that Spider-Man is silly, and he thinks that others are just, you know, Wolverine is just sort of
crazy.
And
Wolverine kills people.
Yes, he does. But with the Garth Ennis Punisher was translated into this movie, for me it sort of boils down to they captured him in a scene that just sort of defined what the Punisher was. And the problem with Punisher in movies is either he punishes too much or he doesn't punish enough. Mm. This movie does have that problem where the Punisher doesn't really punish. He does a little bit, but then he doesn't. To me, though,
the scene where he is torturing Archangel? That was kind of cool.
Punishing, torturing Archangel.
It wasn't really.
Ben Foster, you mean?
Yeah, well, same fucking Archangel.
Punisher's not doing that, though. That was the bad guy.
That was Punisher, wasn't it? When he's holding the fucking.
No.
When he's holding the popsicle up to his back?
Yeah, and that wasn't Ben Foster.
Who was that?
That was. I don't know the actor's name.
I thought
name.
That was Ben Foster.
That was not Ben Foster. Ben Foster had the eye piercings and whatnot and had the guy who was twisting those.
Yeah,
that was the bad guy doing that.
I thought that. Okay. I've only seen this movie like twice, so
it's good. I love it. It's another one that has a really good extended cut.
I didn't know there was an extended cut. Who directed this?
Jonathan Hensley.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's only the extended cut's only on DVD. It's not on Blu-ray.
Mm.
What's nice about the movie and the scene that sort of captures why I think it's just great is right after Thomas Jane's Punisher has been, he's had the ever-loving snot beat out of him by the Russian, and I loved Kevin Nash shows up and is the Russian, and the only problem with that scene is he didn't talk, and in the comic books the Russian
wouldn't shut up. I do remember that.
And what I loved about this scene is he gets the crap beat out of him, they patch him up, and then they have to hide him because the bad guys have showed up, and then there's the torture scene with Ben Foster and whatnot. And the Punisher, they get the Punisher out of the little elevator, and he looks like hell. And he walks over to this counter, and he looks out, and there's one of the bad guys is watching them. He's walking around in the hallway out there, and he opens the door to pull out a gun. Then he stops, and he looks at this big, giant paper cutter that he's got. He then quietly shuts the drawer and unhinges the paper cutter, and I'm like, that is the Punisher. He could have just picked up the gun, shot him, been done with it. But no, the Punisher would go for the paper cutter because that's the nasty way to die. And this movie just gets a lot of crap, and a lot of people just dismiss it because of John Travolta, I guess. It's a decent movie.
I like it. And I'm going to say this about why I don't like John Travolta in it. I guarantee you. I'm not going to guarantee you, but this is a bullshit guarantee because there's no way I can back it up. But I'm pretty goddamn sure that if John Travolta weren't in that movie, and
probably wouldn't have gotten made. Yeah.
Well, no. I'm not going to say that. If John Travolta weren't in that movie and there weren't an equivalent, you know, 2015 millionaire in there, that if it's, we're going to assume it get made, that we would have got a Thomas Jane sequel. Because I think that John Travolta in it probably kicked up the price of it $10-15 million. And so
as it is, a movie about broke even.
Yeah. And I just think that, and I don't mind John Travolta in, and I just thought he was wasted. And I think that, you know, they spent way too much money for a name when, you know, maybe they should have got a, you know, not a John Travolta, but a somebody mid-range there. And
it's entirely a movie that's underrated, I think. So
I like it.
That's why it made it number three on my list.
I wonder if it's on Netflix, isn't it?
I think so.
I should check that out.
I've got the extended cut DVD. I can loan it to you.
I should check that out.
But hey, it's good. I like it.
I haven't seen it in years.
It came out in 2003?
You can get the extended cut DVD dirt cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find it for like $5.
Worth every penny. Very good. Jason, what's your number three?
Well, this one comes directly from my wife. And if I didn't include this movie on my list, I would be in a world of hurt. 2008 Iron Man.
That's my number three as well.
That's a great movie.
I love Iron Man.
We talk about iconic castings, and Robert Downey Jr. As Iron Man is definitely one of those.
Have we talked about that on the show yet? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
He's my wife's all-time favorite. She just is in love with Iron Man. She'll go see all of them if he's in it.
Ethan can back me up on this, but I've liked Robert Downey Jr. for way longer than it's been cool to like Robert Downey Jr. I've loved him since his pre-Chaplin days. Mm-hmm.
I've got my wife to commit going to see the Avengers just because he's going to be in it.
Yeah, but you know that the star of that's Captain America, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
The first Avenger. Hello.
Yeah, there you go. Imagine that. I loved Iron Man.
I love
Iron Man when it came out. I remember seeing it in the movie theater and just being like, "Yes,
yep,
this, yes,
yeah, you know, exactly."
It was just so perfect a movie.
Uh huh.
It was so just quite at its essence a great superhero movie.
Yeah, it's my number three as well. I don't know if you heard me, but this is a movie, and I think I said something earlier, but I actually saw this opening night. But I saw I saw it coincidentally. I think that my then wife, not my now wife, my other wife, my ex wife, and I just wanted to go see a movie, and we were in Kansas City. I think we went to a mall or something, and you know we were near the movie theater, and we're like, let's go see what's playing, and like, oh cool, Iron Man, I want to see that because I like Robert Downey Jr. And she's all, okay, we'll see it. And I'm glad that I didn't see inside because I bought my ticket, went inside, and it was a fucking madhouse in there because it was a huge opening. And if I had seen it, I would have went in and saw it. But I loved Iron Man. It's such a wonderful movie. And I really like Iron Man 2 a lot. But Iron Man 1 just kind of has an indescribable quality that you can't duplicate it. And it's got nothing to do with it being a better or a worse film.
It was very much a perfect storm movie.
Yeah, it was so good.
Everything came together right on it.
Motherfucking Jeff Bridges. Hell yeah. I mean, I love this movie. But you can continue.
The thing with me is that again, I didn't have a real sense of Iron Man before the movie.
Well, that's good. Before this movie, Iron Man sucked.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, there was this internet talk, and this internet buzz about Iron Man coming out, and you know, I went and I looked for stuff, you know, about Iron Man, and you know, I found some of the old comic books, and I also found there was a Marvel did a series of cartoons in the
bad.
Oh, horrible. Horrible.
I remember when that show was on, and I remember the theme song, you know, I Am Iron Man. Oh, my. It was so awful.
And it was, you know, they did this combination of computer graphics and animation, and it was just bad. Mm-hmm. And then Iron Man actually.
You thought that was bad. See the Fantastic Four one that ran right after it.
That was bad, too.
Right now, they're in my Netflix queue, and I'm watching them on purpose, and I'm forcing myself to do it just so that I can say that I've done it. They're horrible. Stan Lee actually comes in and introduces them.
Oh yeah,
You know, the Marvel
Stan fucking Lee.
It was the Marvel Action Hour. I remember.
Yeah, that dude is so enthusiastic. I'll have what he's having. I mean,
no kidding.
I love that dude. Yeah, he's great.
But this movie just kind of, you know, it took a character that was not something that was in the, you know, collective consciousness as much as, you know, a Batman or Superman or even Spider-Man.
No.
And then pushed it forward, and Iron Man is now everywhere, and everybody knows who Iron Man is and who Tony Stark is, and that's because of this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how close of attention you pay to movies and like the scuttlebutt around Hollywood and the news stories that make it out. But a couple of years before this movie was made, they were talking about making it with Nick Cassavetes directing it and Tom Cruise as Tony Stark.
And yeah, I remember, that was the late 90s. Yeah, I remember that.
It was just like, Nick Cassavetes is not a bad director. I mean, he's okay.
Talk about a totally different movie.
Yeah, and then Tom Cruise would have really directed the movie. Yeah. And it would have probably not been very good. But, no. But I remember when we like, okay, and, you know, it's greenlit. We've got it coming. And it's none other than Jon Favreau. And you're like, sweet, what? Jon Favreau, the Swingers guy, the elf guy. Yeah! Why? Okay. And then I do remember that it took forever to name a Tony Stark. I mean, mm-hmm. goddamn.
Yeah.
4 or 5 fucking months.
When you find out it was because they were.
He was fighting for Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like from day one, he says, I want Robert Downey Jr. And the studio's like, are you out of your fucking mind? Because he just went to jail for, I don't remember specifically, some drug something with Ally McBeal. And, you know, he has a long history of drug abuse and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. fucking up movies. And they're all like, no, we're not going to do it. And if I remember right, Favreau deferred all or part of his salary to pay for the insurance because there was no insurance. Nobody would insure uh-huh. him. So he just said, look, no, I want this movie. And he says, you know, whatever. And he deferred his salary. He says, if it doesn't happen, you get all this money. And if, you know, if it does happen, and then they worked into into the contract, if the movie comes out, does well, Robert Downey Jr., you know, plays up his part, Robert Downey Jr. gets a producing credit for any sequels, and that's what ended up happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember. I've talked about in the past before, but I do remember some magazine or some online thing did a story about like the greatest comic book movies ever, and this was right after The Dark Knight came out. Mm-hmm. And everyone's all like, The Dark Knight is, you know, it's a blowjob on celluloid. Greatest fucking movie ever made. And then The Dark Knight ended up being number 2.
Great movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. I love The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight ended up being number 2 on this list, and the number 1 movie on that list was Iron Man, and their rationale was
it's because it was a perfect storm of a movie. It was, I mean,
everything worked well for it, but what they said was, in Iron Man, you don't care if you're watching Tony Stark or if you're watching Iron Man. And in like The Dark Knight, you're waiting for Batman.
Right.
You don't want to see Christian Bale mm-hmm. trying to get in Maggie Gyllenhaal's pants.
A lot of times in superhero movies, it's, you know, you have secret identity and you have superhero, and you want to see the superhero. I mean, you want to see it. In Iron Man, you don't care because Downey is so good. Mm-hmm. And even in the armor, he's still Tony Stark. Yeah. You say, yeah, that's... they're interchangeable. It's like you don't. It's kind of hard to describe because you don't say, "Well, there's Tony Stark and then there's Iron Man." It's like, "No, there's Tony Stark, Iron Man."
Yeah.
I mean, he is Iron Man. He is Iron Man. Yeah,
That comes, that last statement at the end of the movie is just perfect for that. I mean, yeah, I am Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that just, you know, brilliant, perfect casting. You know, the stars were aligned and we got a fantastic movie.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one that I own all the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I own all the, well, I don't own Jonah Hex, but I own most of the DC movies. And this is the one that finds its way into my Blu-ray player the most, I would say.
It's a great
movie. I love this movie. It's just a fun one to throw in mm-hmm. and just kind of background noise. Occasionally look at the pretty boom booms. And
yeah.
Yeah,
and
the effects are great. The armor. It's Stan Winston's last thing, it's amazing stuff.
If I want to nitpick. I like Don Cheadle better as Rhodey. Oh,
yeah.
But you know
I was talking to someone who thought the opposite, and I'm like, really?
People fucking love Terrence Howard, dude. Love him,
dude. Don Cheadle all the way.
Don Cheadle all the way.
I'm for Don Cheadle on
it. Me too. And you know he isn't an asshole, mm-hmm. so that's another good part of it. My number 3 as well. So obviously I agree with you completely, Jason.
Great movie.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Very good. So, Ethan, number 2.
My number 2 is another one that sort of falls into the screw you people, I like it. Although I think...
Hulk is my big screw you people, I like it.
Yeah. This one, though, is X-Men The Last Stand. This movie is not as bad as people say it is.
No, you've heard me say that before.
Oh, yes.
I don't particularly like it that much.
I have listened to people for, you know, for 6 years now going off about, oh, this movie was so awful. It was sucked so badly. And I'm just like,
now, do you understand why I don't like it very much?
Why don't you explain?
Because it's an X-Men movie.
Okay.
I don't particularly like X-Men.
Sure.
That's it.
There you go.
That's my beef with it.
This movie, however, people rip into it. And
I
just
unfairly. Absolutely.
I watched
very
it the other day and I'm like, this is not bad.
I got something to say. Have you read the Phoenix, the Dark Phoenix saga?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember how the Dark Phoenix died? In the book?
The Dark Phoenix? Yeah, she got the...
She got shot by that laser thing on the moon?
On the moon, yeah.
Okay. Do you remember how she died in X-Men 3?
Uh-huh. Wolverine stabbed her.
And he was walking through that degeneration, or that disintegration field, and all this shit is falling off and then growing back? That is a badass scene.
Uh-huh.
I fucking love that scene.
See, I feel that, especially with the X-Men movies, you have
Angel's
to watch...
wasted.
Angel was wasted. I will agree with that. Angel was entirely superfluous.
Just gonna like my women.
Exactly. But I mean, in the movie, you get Beast, and Kelsey Grammer is Beast. That was great.
We were talking great comic book casting. He's up there.
That's another great one. You know, it's like I remember they announced him as Beast, and I was like, that's perfect. That's great. They get the character. They get it. You know, it's Frasier, but with blue hair. Yes, great, perfect, wonderful. Run with it. And I think overall the X-Men movies have had good casting.
Oh yeah,
I still even like, you know, Vinnie Jones as Juggernaut. I thought they did
that.
A great job.
I did not make this movie, so there's stuff about it that I personally do not like. But I understand that this world is not here to make me happy.
But I think this movie gets a real bad rap because Bryan Singer didn't direct it.
Brett Ratner's not that bad.
No, Brett Ratner's hit and miss. This one, I think, is a hit. You know, obviously, it's the movie that's made the most money out of the series.
Is it?
Really?
It is.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, it is. It is the movie that had the biggest opening weekend. It's made a boku bucks. And I mean, obviously, that says something.
That was the one when Magneto flipped over the fucking truck in the road, right?
Yes.
I love that scene.
Also the one where he levitates the Golden Gate Bridge.
That was cool, too.
I mean, it is Magneto kicking ass.
It was... Which was the one where he lifted up the... That was the new one that I didn't like, where he lifted up the submarine, right?
Yeah, that was for First Class. Yeah.
I liked that scene.
I liked First Class just fine.
It's all right.
But Last Stand, predominantly people bitch and moan and hate on this movie, and I'm like, what the hell, people? When you go see the X-Men movies, you have to Jason, you're a lucky guy because you said you weren't very much into comics,
right?
So you probably haven't ever read any of the X-Men comics, am I right?
No, I hadn't.
Okay.
The X-Men cartoons, yes.
Oh, that's a good show. That Fox
except
cartoon.
For like the last season was so bad.
Yeah, but
right, but
yeah.
Anyway, but the thing is with the X-Men movies is you go to them and you have to separate them. You have to say, yes, they are inspired by the comics. You have to not
this
based
is not
on
the comic book.
This is not the comic book. It is its own universe, and you have to accept it and move on. Once you do that, these movies are much better to people. And I got that right at the first movie. And I was like, okay, fine, great. Moving on. X-Men 2, great. X-Men 3. I thought, hey, yeah, it has its problems, but I still love it. It's still a good movie.
There's good stuff in it. All right, something about the misfiring
of the death scene of Xavier. I mean, that was, you know, that's the only reason that one's not. I'm not a biggest fan of X-Men.
But you know, he survives, right?
Yeah, there's a post credits thing, and he survives.
Yes,
he goes and he's in that brain dead chick,
brain dead guy.
Guy, excuse me. Yeah.
Yes, there's a post-credit sequence in X-Men.
I have to go back and look at that because I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, it's on. I'm sure it's on YouTube, but
I'm sure it is.
I've got
but it's
DVD
in the
right up here on the shelf.
It's in the credits.
Yep.
It's at the end of the credits or near the end of the credits.
Yep.
You have to watch through the credits. There's a little
how did I miss that
end scene?
Years?
Yeah,
beats me.
Yeah.
When people complain about this movie, there are definitely three things that I remember people complaining about, and you just hit one of them: the death of Professor X. Personally, I thought it was brave. It's unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
Especially that early in the movie. Mm-hmm. The death of Cyclops.
I've gone over what I would do with an X-Men 4, how I would validate X-Men 3.
We talked about it early, yeah.
And I think you could easily get away with him not being dead.
Because
you never see him die.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm like, okay,
Moving on. Done.
And then the big one that everybody complains about, and I agree with, it doesn't ruin the movie for me, but I agree with the complaints, is they say that when Mystique gets turned back into a normie, Magneto abandons her. Mm-hmm. They say he would have done that. And I agree.
Sure.
But one part of a movie does not ruin a movie.
No, I agree. And,
yeah.
You know, I entirely look forward, because I know they still plan on doing an X4 at some point.
Do they?
Oh, yes. Really? Lauren Shuler Donner is very adamant about that they're still developing it. They obviously want to do X-Men First Class 2, but they want to do an X-Men 5.
X-Men First
Class. X-Men 4.
X-Men Second Class.
Yes, X-Men.
Hey, we didn't talk about Geekly Happenings. Did you see the Wolverine poster that's been floating around?
Yeah.
Is that true or not?
I haven't heard anything.
I like it. If it's fake, well, it's cool.
And really talking Wolverine, that's the other thing you sort of go for is it. If you're going to the X-Men movies, you either see them as X-Men movies or Wolverine really just accept movies. That they're Wolverine Green. Movies. Because really they are. They're just Wolverine movies featuring the X-Men.
Yeah. Wolverine and the X-Men. I mean, fuck, that's what they named the cartoon.
Yeah, well, and there's a comic series like that now, too. Well, I mean, so...
Yeah.
There you have it. So that's sort of my thing on X-Men Last
there's
Stand.
Certainly
it's not bad. I think it's quite good.
There's certainly stuff about X-Men 3 I do not like, but mm-hmm. there's so much more about it. And you're probably... I don't know if you're doing this. I almost came myself when Bobby went full Iceman. That mm-hmm. was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved seeing that.
And seeing Beast fight in it was sweet.
Yeah.
You know, and finally we got Colossus, you know, my favorite X-Man. And
well, he was in the second one, wasn't he?
Briefly.
Yeah, but there was no Cannonball special. Or
no, but you got
basketball.
That in the third movie.
Yeah.
And plus you sent around it where you got Sentinels, too. But
yeah.
Definitely.
No, I agree with you. I haven't seen it in a while. I don't own it. I would never own them because I'm not that huge of a fan of an X-Men. Mm-hmm. I think it's too much spread too thin.
The Blu-ray finally has a nice, you know, those movies are sort of hit and miss on DVD. And
I remember the first edition of the first X-Men on DVD was a piece of shit.
Yeah,
and it was like a two disc, and it was like just hours of bullshit.
But on X-Men 3, they finally put a good documentary on there about just the X-Men, about the comic books, and whatnot.
Cool.
And I love those sort of things. So.
So,
that was nice.
So I'm going to transition right to my number two. Because
go for it.
It kind of plays into this, maybe I should have mentioned it a little sooner, but my number two is the X-Men.
The first one?
The first one. And there's a reason for it.
Please.
It was 2000, so, you know, we're looking at, you know, we hadn't had really much since Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Right, since the Batman movies. Again, we have that you had Superman and the tailing off of the Superman movies, or box office wise anyway. Then you had the Batman and the tailing off of the Batman movies. All right, and then you hadn't had anything for a while. And Bryan Singer comes out with the X-Men in 2000, and it did spawn the next. You know, what are we at? Five now. Those three, and then the
Wolverine
movie,
one,
and then
First Class,
and First Class. So we're now five movies spawned from this one movie's success, and they did do a good job of paying some homage to the, you know, either whether it be the cartoons or whether it be the comic books,
mm-hmm.
you know, in little things like Wolverine saying, "What did you expect, yellow spandex?"
Yeah,
you know, they did do a good job of playing off of that. But at the same time, I think this is the first time we see Bryan Singer really stepping up and taking a real hard look at what was and adapting that to the screen, and not trying to make a
emphasis on adapting.
The screen.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Big adaptation.
And he made that clear. I mean, he wanted to, you know, mm-hmm. he wanted to pay homage to that, but had to adapt it and couldn't make it the same. And you do get, if you look at the cast, I mean, put down, you know, listed four of the people that are in it, but we know that you start with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen and Hugh Jackman, and you get Halle Berry, and you get Rebecca Romijn, and mm-hmm. you just keep right on going, and the cast. Was wonderful. It's just a phenomenal, you know. It's more of an ensemble cast than just about any of these others, where you got one guy or one person. You know, it's not a Spider-Man, it's not Iron Man. It's all of these people coming together and putting one group together. And I still come back to something that I always look at is whether a movie was a decent movie is when I can convince my wife to watch something And at the end of it, she says, "Wow, that's a lot better than I expected." And because my wife is not an action person. My wife is not a comic book person. My wife's the complete opposite. She'd sit and watch chick flicks all day long if she could. when I can get her and she's like, "Wow, that's a whole lot better than I expected," and she's ready to watch another one. They've done something in there. And then the fact that, like I said, you get four more, plus you're already talking about the fact that they're wanting to do an X4, plus all the other, X franchise movies. And this sets the stage for Marvel to be able to then, 2 years later, knock it out of the park with Spider-Man. This I think X-Men set the stage for the Marvel movies of the 2000s and beyond.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. This movie.
It's very important.
Talking Game very Changers. Important. It came out and this movie started the whole superhero revolution in movies, where we find Hollywood finally realized, oh, we can put out a superhero movie and it makes a lot of money and they can be good. So if we it right,
I think my list has more to do with game change. The top end of my list has more to do with game changer movies than anything. And I think that X-Men just plays right into.
No, X-Men is a hugely important movie. It's a great movie. I certainly love it. I love X2, and obviously I love X3. But I was just making a comment to Aaron. I think the first. The newest Ghost Rider is the first Marvel movie that I have not seen in theaters.
It was not good,
and I'm not really interested in seeing it. So, I even saw Elektra in theaters. So,
I didn't see that.
If it was in theaters, I saw it when it came to Marvel Comics movie, and I just had no desire for that. And the X-Men movies have not disappointed me. The first X-Men started all this. Without the X-Men and the success and how well it was done, we wouldn't have had, obviously, X2, X3, and all that, but we wouldn't have had Spider-Man, we wouldn't have had Iron Man, we wouldn't have Thor, we wouldn't have Captain America, any of that good stuff. And I think now looking back, the X-Men quality-wise has obviously aged. It's 12 years old now.
Right.
But you have this sort of interesting thing where we've had 40, 50 comic book movies come out since then. That, you look back and go, well, it's because X-Men did so well.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can't discount Blade.
No, you can't discount Blade, but Blade was one of those people really didn't know it was a comic book.
It was a transitionary thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back, I think, and watch Blade.
I did not like Blade, but it was important.
I like all three.
I hate the third one.
I went to watch Blade in the theater. And I've never done this since, and I had never done this before. I like vampire movies, I like comic book movies, all that's fine. But I just got really weirded out in the middle of Blade. I'm just like, completely weirded out, and the people I was with had the same odd, I didn't want to be a part of this sort of movie feel. Mm-hmm. And we actually left the theater, and I've never done that with a movie since then or before then. And I don't know why. It was one of those.
It's a weird movie.
I want to go back and watch all three of those at some point.
The second one is awesome.
I gotta start at the beginning again. Yeah. I'm a completionist.
Well, because the second one's directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Such a great movie.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah. And he very much shows in that movie.
I love that movie. The third one, I could not disagree with you more. I think it's horrible.
I like the third one just fine.
I think it's horrible.
I thought the third one was good, so.
Ugh. I'm going to do something unprecedented here, and I'm changing my list at the last moment to just kind of go with the flow, but just kind of going off of what you guys are doing, I just went ahead and grabbed the 2009 Gavin Hood film, X-Men Origins Wolverine, because I'm pretty infamous amongst this little podcast for I don't particularly like X-Men movies. It's nothing against them, but I just think that X-Men does not translate itself well to a film, because X-Men is a ensemble. And I don't care how well the ensemble was handled in these other movies. You have huge goddamn egos in Halle Berry, especially.
After the first movie,
And it, she,
she is, I think she is unforgivable in those movies, especially two and three.
Well, I think she tones it down in three a bit.
But, I think she tones it way the fuck up, turns it up to 11 in three.
I don't think so.
She insisted on being the goddamn, the gold leader or whatever. And, like, that whole thing, I just thought it was ridiculous. And I did not like her.
That's the way it was in the comics, but...
I don't...
You know.
But yes, I mean,
separate universes, all that good stuff.
But. Yeah, but at any rate... I like X-Men Origins Wolverine, A, because I'm going to throw it out here because everybody hates it, and I don't at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a smaller story. I mean, and it isn't a story that has, you know, frickin' Professor X and Wolverine and Storm and Cyclops and Jean Grey and fill in the blank. You got top of your pile is Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Great. And then, like, kind of your conflict in the movie is him versus Sabretooth. I mean, mm-hmm. I know it isn't, but it is. I mean, obviously, they were dealing with Stryker and all that bullshit and, mm-hmm. you know, Deadpool. But I like this movie.
I think that's what really got people.
And that's my thing. Ethan cannot stand Deadpool. I
can't stand him. It's kind of harsh. I've sort of lightened on him. I just don't Deadpool. I don't care.
I don't like the breaking the fourth wall stuff about Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's none of that in this movie. So I'm completely cool with this Deadpool. Other than the fact that they,
I think Ryan Reynolds perfect casting for him.
He was great for Wade Wilson. And you can't blame him for the way that the Deadpool dude turned out. Mm-hmm. And they took away his mouth, which is, you know, a lot of people see as unforgivable. I saw that as something that you fix. You know, I could see X-Men Origins Wolverine 3 or whatever it's called have Deadpool back in it.
No, they're still talking about doing a Deadpool movie. Deadpool's popular enough that they're talking about it.
Oh yeah, so. Big time.
Yeah.
I liked it. I loved Liev Schreiber as...
He was great.
He was so good. That was one of my big beefs with the first X-Men, is I thought Tyler Mane was a joke as Sabretooth. He was a big, scary guy. They could have done him with CGI and, you know, some probably, you know, free sound clips online. I did not like that. I liked that guy, the Agent Zero. Mm-hmm. He was effectively Maverick, but he wasn't Maverick.
Right.
I liked him a lot. He was cool. I liked a lot of the action in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Hugh Jackman is fantastic as Wolverine. I think he's so fucking
well,
good.
And you know, you see him in interviews and whatnot, he loves the role.
Loves that
he
role.
Absolutely. It's fun to watch because I was just watching some of the extra features on X-Men and whatnot. And in the first X-Men, they talk to him, and you know, he's this baby face. Nobody knows who the hell he is, and he's like so happy to be doing a Hollywood movie, and he's like, you know, I'm just so grateful to be here. And then that movie, because then it goes back to reflect on it about how Hugh it became and how his career just shot through the roof after that movie. And you know, it was those fans that were like, they cast who is Wolverine? He's like a foot tall. He's wait, what the hell?
Yeah,
you know,
he's 6'2". He's obviously gonna fuck it up.
Yeah, and then he comes on screen and you're like,
done.
Well, that was amazing. And ever since then, and you could tell he's very grateful for the Wolverine role because it made his career.
Remember when he hosted the Oscars at the end of his song, I am Wolverine? I mean, he even works it into there.
Yeah.
I mean,
he really loves the part. And in every time he's done it, even the little cameo in X-Men First Class.
Best part of that movie.
He just loves it. He embraces that part. And
you gotta give props to hair and makeup for making his hair work.
Oh yeah. Well, and great interviews with him. They ask him, it's like, how often are you gonna? I mean, how long are you gonna keep doing Wolverine? And he said, until I'm dead. You know.
Yeah.
Well, and he does. A lot of times you'll get actors who get that role that they're associated with over long periods of time, and they start to mail it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get that with him.
No, and I think he's done a good job of doing other things. He's done so much other stuff that people know him for, not just, oh, yeah, that guy's Wolverine, but, man, he was really good in...
The Prestige.
In The Prestige, and, Australia. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing him in Les Miserables later this year. It's like, come on, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that, too.
Me,
too. He just is, you know, he really can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best.
And he's got a great sense of humor about himself, is a great thing. And because I remember another interview we did with him where it was when the Hulk came out.
Yeah.
And he said he went into a bar with and met up with his old Aussie buddy Eric Bana.
Yeah.
And he said, Eric Bana, you know, I started in your comic book because it's like he thought it was funny that Hulk and Wolverine are sitting here having a beer together, and I'm just like,
Hulk and Wolverine walk into a bar.
Yeah, because you can tell he's not ashamed of it.
No,
and it's right. That really comes across from the character, and I loved Wolverine. I thought it was great.
Loved is a bit strong of a word, but I think it's way attacked for no good reason.
And I
think it's the Deadpool thing. I think you're
right. Oh yeah, yeah.
And I liked Deadpool.
I remember seeing it in seeing it theaters and thinking it was okay, and then I saw it at home and I liked it a lot better when I saw it on the small screen. But it's another one of those. It's sort of like the Punisher. It's grown on me. It really has.
Aaron, I think you make a really really good point though that these. The smaller, you know, cast like, you know, the Origins films are going to do a little bit better than the, you know, overall X-Men films as a whole, just because you don't have to worry about having the superhero overload. You know,
you don't have to worry about hitting time points in an Academy Award winning actress's contract. It's all about the story. It's not about ego.
Well, not just the actors themselves, but the characters that you have to work in. When you see these little, tiny little, you know, the spots where the first time you see Colossus, you know, he's, you know, just a kid in the school running down the, you know, the hallway. And you don't realize, oh, wait, that's Colossus. Or the Kitty Pryde or the Jubilee or, you know, all these little things that you see and you know, then they start showing up later on in X3 or, you don't have to worry about trying to have that overload.
I think I'm the only person on the planet, but I liked Gambit in this movie. I mean, he was obviously...
I'd nothing Gambit, so...
He was superfluous.
Yeah.
But Gambit is so...
I thought the guy playing him was fine.
Yeah, he is so easy to overdose on some Gambit.
I'm just not a fan of the Gambit character, so I didn't care.
I was as a kid, and... I liked him. I thought that he served a purpose. You know, that could have just as easily been Johnny Nobody. But you know, so you know what? Why don't we just why don't we delve into his rich history and get somebody? Okay, Gambit, that works. And I liked it.
I would have thought that as much as I heard about him prior to the movie, I was expecting more.
Well, you know, the thing about Gambit is when the X-Men movie was coming out, they're like, okay, who's going to play Gambit? That was all the hubbub on the internet.
Gambit's such a popular character
in the
comics.
And then, okay, X2, who's going to play Gambit?
Yeah.
Okay, nobody. All right, X3, you know they got to do it this time. Nobody.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, son of a bitch.
It was something that was...
Is he still popular?
Gambit, as far as I know. I don't follow the X-Men comics.
I know
his
popularity...
I got burned out on those in the 90s.
His popularity came from the cartoon.
Yeah. I think you definitely... You hit the nail on the head when it comes to Gambit. It was set up to be a disappointment. Mm-hmm. It is no matter who they put in that role, no matter when they had him show up, people were going to go, I didn't like him.
I liked him. I thought he was fine. I mean, obviously I like Wolverine way the hell better.
Well,
And I liked Sabretooth way more than I ever expected I would.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed... I enjoyed this movie a lot. I wish I owned it. And I actually saw it for relatively cheap on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't pick it up because I'm an idiot. But I like it. So I picked it from number two.
Mm-hmm. You can go to Walmart and get it for $10 right now.
Oh, cool. Because I remember that was like the thing. Is I just was not... I did not want to... would not spend $20 on it. And I could not find it any cheaper. But I'm all over it. So I think that's going to bring us all down to our number unos, our favorites.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
Well, bring it on, Ethan.
My number one's the 2003 Hulk.
Of course it is. Isn't that a great movie?
It's a great movie. You know, and it frustrates me when people go like, I didn't like that. It was stupid. And I'm like, that's because you're an idiot.
And then, you know, my softening in everything that I'm talking about isn't quite there because one of the things that you can do to just put me through a fucking roof is I can say, I like the Hulk. I'm like, well, that must... And they're like, well, no, fuck you. The Incredible Hulk was awesome. I said, what part of I like the Hulk did you take out fuck the Incredible Hulk?
Yes.
I mean, I hate that. I hate that association.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you know, you have to love one and hate the other.
And I think this movie is one of those that just has this...
It's cerebral.
It's a cerebral movie. It's a smart movie. There's a lot going on in it. And like my brother said, he didn't like it because there wasn't enough Hulk smash. And I'm just like... You know, I think you can do a good Hulk story and not have a whole lot of Hulk smash, case in point.
To me, it was brave, because there is no more... I mean, how many more characters in the Marvel Universe are there that are just pure fucking physicality?
Mm-hmm.
And then you make a cerebral movie out of that. I thought it was brave.
Yeah, it was brave. I think... And it was well done, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's a good movie that it examines the psyche of this character, you know, and yeah, they have a few, you know, diversions from here and there, and you know, you got the Hulk dogs and all that stuff. But I'm like, you know,
I
can
live without the Hulk dogs,
but it's still good. I think it's filmed well. Oh, I really it's so a lot of people griped about the split screen stuff. And
I like
the stuff
that
with that.
Stuff.
And I was like, no, it's a comic strip. I get it. It's I like that. You know, it's Ang Lee, who's you know a master filmmaker.
Sure,
comes in and does a Hulk movie, does a movie for Marvel Comics. I'm like, I want to see this, you know. And it surprised me. I thought it was fun. It was good. You had I would probably I need to watch it again, but I think I would agree with you that Eric Bana is probably the best Banner.
He's the best Banner, but it's not to me. To me, it's close. Norton was really good.
Norton was more Bill Bixby.
Yeah.
Which is what they were going for in that movie.
And that's
so
cool. But I will not, I cannot listen to any arguments about the other people. I think everyone else was so much better in this movie.
Sam Elliott.
All those people were so much better in The Hulk than in The Incredible Hulk. And I like all those people, but I just think that these people were better.
Mm-hmm. And I just think what makes me like this movie is that it's a movie that actually makes you think. And it actually.
Pants.
Yes, purple pants, right on. And you know the CG in it is a bit dated, but we are talking 7-8 years ago now.
What year did it come out?
2003.
That's 9 years, dude.
Yeah, 9 years ago. Good lord. And I saw this in theaters. I liked it just fine.
I saw it in the drive-in.
Oh, nice. But this was a time when my brother was living up in Chicago, and so I sort of saw it on my own. And you know, the movie's got, I wouldn't say the movie is without its problems, but I think overall it's good. It sort of lacks a good, you know, villain. And when you watch a Hulk movie, you want to see the Hulk smash at least once or twice. And I think you got that with the whole desert fight sequence.
It
was great.
Desert fight sequence.
And it was sort of it reminded me of. The Incredible Hulk comics I was reading when I was a kid, when really the antagonist in the Incredible Hulk comics was the military.
Yep.
And it was, you know, yeah, he'd face off against the leader now and again. And, you know, Abomination was never, I never really remember Abomination from the comics I read, but
I remember
a lot of times it was
vaguely.
It was the military going after the Hulk and the Hulk saying, you know, leave me alone.
It's pretty tough to put anybody up against the Hulk.
Yeah. The Hulk's a fascinating character. Yeah. The Hulk is a really cool character. You know, even just looking at him from the comic book perspective, they use him really well. I like The Incredible Hulk. It's a good movie. Like I say, I think it's the weakest Marvel Studios movie, but it's still good. I like how you can still watch it and it doesn't really invalidate the first Hulk movie. You can still watch it and say it's a
The Incredible Hulk. I'm sorry.
Yeah, The Incredible Hulk to The Incredible Hulk.
I was gonna say because I like this better than Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. No. And you know, I can entirely see that I can watch Hulk and then watch The Incredible Hulk and go, okay, I can see the second movie doesn't invalidate the first one. It doesn't have to. No. Yes, you have the different sort of origin at the beginning in the credits, but you know I can ignore that for the most part. It can be a continuation.
Sure.
Go ahead, Jason.
With the Hulk, I think that you guys have both hit it on the head that the cast for the Hulk is a much better cast than the Incredible Hulk, with the exception of the Banner character. I just couldn't see the intellectual aspect of Bruce Banner coming out in Eric Bana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't get that. I didn't feel that, you know, from that guy.
I will 100% give you that, but I do think that Bana carried the inner rage better than Norton.
Mm-hmm.
And Norton's a fantastic actor. I am not speaking ill of him. I think he's I think he's wonderful. But I do think that Eric Bana portrayed that just like that inner rage a little bit better.
And I honestly can say I like the look of the Hulk in Hulk over Incredible Hulk. I thought Incredible Hulk looked fine, but I liked the Hulk look first movie.
I did too.
I guess with Norton, it was more about trying to hide the Hulk and trying to, you know, not show that inner rage, because the rage is going to come out in the Hulk. To me, Banner's trying to hide the Hulk and keep the Hulk at bay as much as possible.
Right.
And you get that fear out of Norton more than I got that fear out of Banner. Out of Banner.
I know that always screws me up too. My thing about it is it's also two completely different points of the story.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
because with Eric Bana Hulk, he's still this is just very newly happening to him. He's still figuring out. He's still scared about what's going on. And then you have Edward Norton Hulk, and he knows what happens. He knows what he has to do to control it. You know, he's been on the run for years, and I think that it's appropriate. And I think that they probably, you know, I mean, obviously this was not intentional, but they did it kind of great, because I do think that Bana plays what we needed to in the Hulk, and I think that Norton played that Hulk that we needed. So mm-hmm.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So that's my number one. It's the Young Lee Hulk. I absolutely think it's very underrated.
Very underrated. Great movie. Great movie. So Jason, your number one is Captain America, right?
No, it is not.
All right. What is it?
I thought my number one is more obvious than even that, I think.
Oh.
My number one is Superman the movie.
The original? It's a good movie.
The original.
It's fantastic.
I like Superman 2 a lot.
I go back to Superman the movie because it is. I mean, it is Superman, and you believed a man could fly.
Mm-hmm.
It
started the superhero movie.
Without it, we have nothing.
Yeah.
Again, it's the game changer. We don't get Superman 2. We don't get Superman 3. We don't get Superman 4. We don't get anything beyond, mm-hmm. you know, the little here or there stuff that we get without Superman, without Christopher Reeve being, you know, Superman, without Margot Kidder being Lois Lane, and in fact it goes even back to Marlon Brando and Gene Hackman. Without those two guys being attached to the picture, we get nothing.
Yeah,
the picture doesn't get made. I've got the Superman box set that came out right after Superman Returns.
Mm-hmm. I really wanted to get that, but I never could.
I've been watching all of the, you know, I watched the Saul Kind commentary, mm-hmm. and I've watched the Richard Donner commentary, and I'll tell you what, you know, without those two guys, they even talk about Gene Hackman wanting to not shave his mustache.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, Richard Donner had the fake mustache on.
Yeah, had the fake mustache. Yeah. And then the fact that Hackman didn't want to shave his head or wear a skull cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of the different wigs they had hairstyles that they did again throughout the course of that movie, because he wouldn't go with a skull cap until mm-hmm. the very end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I love
Gene Hackman. I love Gene Hackman. I think he's one of my favorite actors of all time. I like watching his Lex Luthor. I think it's fun, but he is not Lex Luthor.
I agree with you. I don't think he's a great Luthor at all.
I think it's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think that Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey was a horrible Luthor.
I didn't think he was a good one either. But
I enjoyed him just fine.
He was closer.
I think Spacey. Yeah, I agree. I think he was better than Hackman.
And I will also say this. I know. I've been. This is a theory I've been working on for years, dude. So, if somebody else played played Lex Luthor, then Gene Hackman, I think the Kevin Spacey's Luthor would have been better. Because, you know, this was obviously a continuation off of that performance, and so he had to do wacky things with it. But, you know, and Kevin Spacey could play Lex Luthor well. He just didn't, because that wasn't what that story called for.
Yeah. Christopher Reeve is Superman.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what happens in the future, or, you know, from now on.
Definitely for our generation. Oh, yeah. Yes. When you think Superman, I think Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Entirely.
Or Dean Cain.
I'm not even going to, you know, talk bad about Brandon Routh, because I don't think he was bad.
I think he was very good.
He did a very good job stepping into that role.
I don't think anybody was going to have a great success in that role, and I think he did a good job of it. I think he did a fine job as an actor. I didn't have a problem with him in the role. I'm disappointed that he's not getting another shot, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Ethan and I were both big champions of him getting another shot in this mm-hmm. remake.
Yeah. I wish that he would. I didn't think the Superman Returns was as bad as everybody else, you know, seems to think it is.
We reviewed it a long time ago, yeah. And that was our reaction to it. Is it isn't that bad?
It isn't as bad as sort of the way I look at Superman Returns is it's a good movie that you need to be told about, but you don't need to see necessarily. Because I wanted to see the sequel to it. You know, leaving that movie, I was like, I want to see the next one because this one was okay. It got me excited to see the next one, but then they never did a next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wish that, you know, the Brandon Routh would have been able to go on. That's fine. I'm looking forward to the next one, but this movie, this, you know, everything about it, agreed, the Luther person, you know, the Luther character in this, it isn't, you know, the Luther out of the comic books that we're used to in any of its iterations, really. I mean, because there's been so many iterations of Lex Luthor, but...
My favorite Lex Luthor has been off of the Justice League and the Superman cartoons when Terrence Stamp. Jesus.
Clancy Brown.
Kurgan, yeah. Clancy Brown voiced him.
Yeah.
That's been my favorite iteration, yeah.
It's just... I think that, you know, everything that we know about Superman, as far as a superhero himself, being overpowered and the Boy Scout and all this thing, it's all true. I mean, mm-hmm. it's all true. I won't deny any of that. But Superman is the iconic superhero. I mean, he's the first superhero.
Yeah.
It's why when DC rebooted their series, you know, they went back in Action Comics and are starting with him. He mm-hmm. is the first. I mean, and without mm-hmm. Superman, he's still the greatest.
And when we're talking superhero movies, it's the first. You know, it entirely embodies what people for, you know, 10, 15, well, pretty much 20 years, people compared comic book movies or superhero movies that came out to Superman. It's mm-hmm. like, well, you know, it's good, but it's not Superman.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, Superman 2 was, you know, some people say it's even better than the first one. I think they work great together.
Yeah.
I know I speak for myself.
I like the action better in 2.
Sure.
I'm not a big fan of the whole the Eiffel Tower sequence, but that's the story.
Yeah, that was the Richard Lester stuff. Have you seen the Donner Cut? Yeah.
I still haven't seen that.
It's pretty good. I've got it.
I do too.
With Superman and Chris Reeve, I think it entirely is for our generation. It's he's Superman. Yep. I mean, there's no way two ways about it. He's Superman. He always will be Superman to us. And
it's heartbreaking what happened to him too.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until I was watching the DVD, the commentary that in the train sequence where, you know, they insert Lois Lane in there. Mm-hmm. The older lady that's there was the lady who played Lois Lane in the original.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was sitting across from her was Jimmy, the first Superman.
No, he was Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
I thought they said it was actually Superman. He actually played Superman.
No, because that was George Reeves.
He was dead by then.
Reeves was dead, but I thought that they said there was someone else that actually played Superman.
I have to go back and watch it. I haven't watched that forever. You're probably right. I do remember that was the Lois Lane. I know the original Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen showed up in Superman Returns.
Yep.
Right.
But, yeah, Superman, I'm looking forward to this next movie with some trepidation. But
extreme trepidation.
Because DC is sort of hit and miss lately. But, it's Batman and miss when it's
anything else. Yeah.
But, Superman,
Green
great
Lantern
choice.
Landed a hit, but it didn't knock...
Glanced off the chin,
yeah,
really.
I mean,
yeah.
It was a real good glance.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and Green Lantern, I don't think Green Lantern stood much of a chance, to be honest with you, because
it was a very troubled production, also.
Oh, yeah.
It cost way too much money for a character nobody knew anything about.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. It's almost a tangential sort of a character. I mean, you know, if you're in the comic book world, you know more about Green Lantern than, you know, you had to have so much exposition in the beginning of that movie to really get anywhere. And I think that really hurts a movie, you know, something like that. I will say that when I, you know, right after we talked about doing this show, and I started talking to the people that I work with, you know, I asked them, I said, hey, what's your favorite superhero movie of all time? And the first thing out of everybody's mouth was the original Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, every person.
Really like that movie. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just, maybe it's some sort of mental retardation with me, but I think I like Superman 2 better. I don't know why.
They're both great.
They're really honestly. Good movies.
Well, and 70% of Superman 2 was shot with Superman 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I just really like Zod a lot.
Well, need to be full Zod.
That's true. You know, the whole I think the villain there being, you know, the Kryptonians, I think really helps.
Yeah.
And again, that plays back into the villains make the movie.
Sure.
You know, so I agree with you that they were much better villains. Than Lex Luthor was, the, you know.
And way better than Max Gorman or whatever, isn't it? Gus Gorman in Superman 3, Richard Pryor. And I love Richard Pryor, but...
Superman 3.
Not the
only redeeming part of that movie that I liked was the junkyard fight, and that was about it.
Man, that was kind of silly.
Yeah. But and Superman 4 still has a soft spot in my heart.
Yeah. Well, I guess we got to get down to my number one, and obviously I got to talk me some Batman.
Uh-huh.
But I got to figure out what kind of Batman I want to talk.
Uh-huh.
So... We know my favorite Batman movie of all time. We know that. It's Batman Begins.
Yes.
I love Batman Begins, but I've talked the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knight is way too obvious of a choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to talk any of the original ones because, A, I've talked the hell out of them, B, they're inferior. So, you know, with this firmly said that I definitely like the Nolan films better than this, I'm going to pick this one based off of the fact that I just want to talk about it because we haven't got a chance to. I picked the 2011 Batman Year One direct-to-video animated movie. I love that movie. Have you seen this one yet, Jason?
I have not. I've seen the Red Hood. I have not seen
it. Oh, that's a really good one.
Red Hood is really good.
I thought that's where you were going to go, actually.
I loved it. I loved that, and we've actually talked to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
My thing about Batman Year One is Batman Year One or Batman Hush are my favorite Batman comic book stories. You know, it's one or the other. And Batman Year One is probably my favorite because of the fact it does the impossible, and it makes me enjoy a character in a Batman story more than I enjoy Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Jim Gordon.